If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, let's pray. God of rock, thank you for this chance to kick ass. We are your humble servants. Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Rock and roll!
In observance of Memorial Day, we will now honor the men and women who have served their country protecting our freedom and our way of life with a moment of silence. Thank you.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
And now,
what exactly do you want?
Just something that doesn't suck.
Well, one of these days, maybe you'll come up with a little better plan than that. Huh?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Monday, the 15th of Rocktober.
Lisa May has to be moved into another studio.
Why?
We need to get her somewhere where she doesn't talk all the time about sports nonstop forever.
Well, this is kind of what we had hoped for our whole lives. She's finally into sports. But
she's going crazy.
Look, this is what it was like for me
all these years.
The whole time working on this show. All you guys do is talk about sports, and now I'm joining in, and now you don't want me.
Lisa's,
You're a mean club. I don't like you.
I'm at the sports bar watching the Red Sox, and how about the Seahawks? Boy, do they suck. Mike, what's going on with your Cowboys? It was just like one thing right after that. I'm like, shut up, woman.
How long are you going to talk?
Seriously,
oh,
Lisa.
Oh, please, you want me more now than ever.
Part of the problem is that she cheers for bad teams. That's part of the problem.
Yep.
I mean, to have somebody sit in here and talk about how great the Red Sox are and she hopes they win, come on.
They're in the playoffs. They can't be crappy.
I'm not saying they're crappy. I'm saying we've been trained to hate them our whole lives.
You have?
Of course.
I have not been trained to hate
Yankees.
The Red Sox because of the Yankees.
Well,
if you can make
okay.
the Yankees weep, you're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But Lisa, I want her to talk about her boobs more, and I want to talk about her ponytail, and you know.
Well, there's room for all that.
She never really talked about that. It was always us.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You talk a lot, and yet you say nothing.
It is weird, though, to have her talking about this sport and that sport. Although the one thing she's right in is, how about them Cowboys? A.
Ha ha.
And how about them Seahawks? B.
Oh my God.
Lisa texted me during the Seahawks game. That's who is this woman?
Wow.
I watched the beginning of the game, and it was so
I didn't see what happened with the Seahawks. I was
funny.
What happened?
They sucked.
Yes.
They, like, basically, I don't know all of the terms yet, but the guy
How'd you help
I don't
her
know
out,
any
Bean?
Of the
well,
terms.
What happened at the beginning?
It was the punt return that at the beginning of the game that no Seahawk could find the handle on.
Oh.
And New Orleans picked up, ran it back for a touchdown. First possession.
They practically
first possession of the game.
All the way to the line.
I mean, just bounce. Nobody could get to it. The guy picked it up and ran it in. I mean, you're 5 seconds into the game and you're down 6-0 already.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's good.
That was right? That's how the game started. And if I may say, it got worse from there.
Wow. How could it get worse from there?
I don't know.
What was the
final
score? I think the final score was 28-17, but it was 28 to nothing at one point.
The Seahawks tried to make it interesting in the second half, but really,
it was never close.
The Saints looked like the Saints of last year out of the blue.
Yeah,
and
just
Seahawks could not have played worse.
It was horrible. And it's so funny to hear Al Michaels, because their job on announcing the football is to try to make the game seem exciting, even if it's not, because they want people to stay around to the end. Well, let me see. New Orleans got an 11-point lead, so they'd need a touchdown and then a 2-point conversion and then a field goal, and then they'd be back in it. And there's like 6 minutes left. I'm like, Al, it's over, all right?
Give it up.
Shut up. But I was on a plane yesterday and was not able to see the fantastic Dallas Cowboys game. But that sounded like that was a fun time.
It was actually an amazing
a closer game than
game
the score indicates, I understand.
Right, but don't get me wrong. The Patriots won that game and they deserved to win. They won it handily. But
I was trying to think
the Cowboys were ahead at halftime.
I was trying to think of three words.
Oh, pay the man.
Oh, was there a wager?
Pay the man.
Yes.
Of course there was a wager. You said, if you give me the points, yep, I'll bet you. And I said, okay, 5.5.
Oh, that is true.
5.5 points.
Yeah, but how much was it?
$500.
Well, I do remember that conversation now, but I don't remember how much the denomination
was. $5 or $10. I don't know.
You can go to the rules, Mike. If no amount is given, it is $500 by default.
That's okay. Right, yeah.
So. All right, I better start the act that dare not speak his name again.
Cash. It's the only way.
A little short on funds.
Crank that up, or how, whatever it is you do with it.
Well, it was a very exciting sports weekend, as Lisa will tell you.
Oh, it's crazy.
And the Trojans, who barely won, went backwards in the polls, which I think is hysterical. They're number 13 now after winning.
Where were they, 10th?
They were 10th, yeah. So that was kind of
weird. Yeah, the last I heard with USC is that they were losing again, that they were behind.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, not again.
Lisa, what did you think about the number one and number two college football teams both losing this weekend?
I have not widened my world enough for college.
No?
No.
That LSU game was one of the most unbelievable games ever. Really? Triple overtime loss to the number one college football team in America. It was amazing. Yeah, very exciting. And then California, you know, Berkeley, they lost too. They were number two and they lost. So it's just there's a lot to keep up on.
I can't do it all.
This
college football season
is the season to take it up. Because
it is the craziest.
It really is. Any given Saturday, any team a college you've never heard of could beat Ohio State this weekend, and it could happen. It's happened consistently all season. So
by the way, just my luck, Lisa finally gets into sports and it's baseball.
Well, that was her introduction. Just that got her luck into it, but now she's expanding.
By the way, how about Kurt Warner going down, too? Now you have two hurt quarterbacks.
No, that's good. That's what Arizona needed.
Yeah. Tim Rattay not going to cut it.
No quarterbacks at all.
You may start next week.
I was going to say Lisa might start next week. Yeah. That's very possible. It's there's so many injuries in the NFL now. It's crazy. Not a positive.
Who knew that was a sport where people could get hurt?
Yeah, but this season seems to be worse than
most.
No,
it is. It absolutely is. It's insane.
It's trouble.
If we could distill it down to just one sentence, though, we're all happy the Cowboys lost.
I think that's true.
Yep.
I have two show-related stories that I have to tell, very quick ones.
First of all, you don't have that ability, but second of all, go ahead.
And the Saturday night, Saturday mornings, Friday night, I'm doing the overnight again. And
what time is that? Like midnight?
2 a.m. to 7 a.m.
2? Okay.
And, you know, don't get a lot of phone calls, so I'm bored and I see the phone light up.
You think
up.
You get more phone calls like early at 2 or later?
None. Fear. Okay. Just none.
Look, his stories are long enough without you butting in.
So I pick up the phone and he's like, hey, is this Psycho Mike? And I was like, yeah, man, yeah. He's like, hey, set the morning guy! It's 3:30 in the morning. Yes! Yes! So Sunday.
Commitment.
Sunday afternoon, I'm at a gala for the Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there minding my own business. And
compete, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And a older man, I mean, I'm going to say easily over 65, comes up to me and he walks by. And I'm sitting at a table minding my own business by myself. And he goes, hey, man. I'm like, yeah. He's all, bra down. And he walks away.
Wow.
How old was he?
Well over 65. I mean, like, he was a senior citizen. This is awesome. Razmik Hartunian.
Wow. He loves brow down. Well, he's going to get a chance to see it this weekend.
That's right.
I mean, Wednesday night, yeah.
Hey, do you play any songs at all on your own Saturday morning show, or do you just talk from 2A to 7A?
It's like
nonstop.
Open line. It's like open line. Yeah, I just go for it.
If you'd like to call in and tell me how great I am, give me a call now.
It's like that Red Zone show with what's his name?
Edry Siciliano.
Yeah, Siciliano, but there's no football.
You like about me? It's 5 hours on Why Psycho Mike is Good.
I'm good because
fill in the blank.
That's right. Call now. Give us a call. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
We have Tony Hawk on the show today.
Yeah.
Lisa, Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Known for?
It's skater.
Right? Skateboarding?
Skateboarding.
Yes.
It seemed a little tentative, but we have to give you the point.
We'll
you were correct.
You were in the...
It kind of freaked me out when you
I figure you know everything, so what the hell?
I know he's a skater.
Money, our former sports guy, will be here today. Talking about
good day for him.
Lisa will be filling him in on sports.
Oh, right. My God.
We're going to talk to Dave Duchovny today.
Yeah.
About one of my favorite shows, Californication.
He's an actor.
Yes, he is.
We're still playing the ID game.
That is good.
Okay. You are correct.
And on his side time, he likes to play what sport?
Basketball.
Wow.
Wow.
And who's his best friend in the whole wide world ever?
I don't know.
Me?
I bet you do.
Who?
Gary Shanley.
Oh, really? Yeah. Are they best friends?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Now by the way, there's a monster billboard right by my house of Taye Leone and modeling a watch or a necklace or something. I don't know what it is, but
she's
like 78 feet tall right next to my house.
You have to bring that up to Dave.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Tell him what you do to his wife.
Also, Michelle Ryan, the Bionic Woman today. Very excited about that. It's funny because Ralph has been dying to get her on. He's gone for a couple of days.
Mister.
And we have her on.
We need to ask her to bring back that noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't heard that one a thousand times.
It was from the original one. Homemade tattoos today on the program, and Craig Ferguson also here today. So that's not bad, right?
That's a good
show.
That's
a show.
Pretty good show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat next.
And it just kind of, you know, fades out like that.
Hold on, wait. Here's my favorite part. Hold on.
No,
here's my part. Hold on, right here. Almost.
Here? Is this it?
And I must have missed it.
Great.
I don't know how you could tell.
That's the Postal Service. That does have the longest fade. That song starts fading about halfway through.
It started fading in 2002. Yeah. It's weird.
It's just lazy.
It's the Kevin Amin Show. I'm K-Rock. It is Monday morning. Yeah, we got Tony Hawk on the show today. Why not Michelle Ryan? She's the Bionic Woman. Craig Ferguson on the program. Dave Duchovny. It's a hell of a program. The one thing we don't have is our old friend Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Bee because he's filming some TV for a couple of days here. Mike, why are you dressed up like a snowman? What's going on with you?
Because it's being here and
I haven't
freezing.
Touched the thermostat. I haven't touched it. And it's a little warm in here.
I'm under the weather. I am a bit ill.
Okay.
I'm liquid from the waist down.
Isn't it? It's like 80 like degrees in here and he's in a hoodie. It's just the weirdest thing.
I'm upset in the stomach. And shivery, and I don't feel good.
Okay, back really? Back away from me, please.
Do not share Kevin's microphone today.
I do
today.
Not want you near me.
Anyway, Ralph is out, but we're going to keep an eye on the showbiz beat for you today, including this may be the weekend that white America wakes up to who the F Tyler Perry is, because he is one of the most successful entertainment moguls in the world, and if you were to go out on the street, most people have never heard of him. Mm-hmm. Yet he consistently writes books that are enormous bestsellers, he makes television programs that are highly watched, and he's got another number one movie this week. Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married, which, by the way, think about the commercials you've seen on TV over the past couple of weeks for movies. Have you seen any commercials for that?
Not that I can recall.
He doesn't have to advertise, does he?
Doesn't need it. He's got that built-in audience.
Wow. I've never seen one of his movies.
Nor have I.
That's because you're not black.
I know, I'm guessing.
I might put a fine point on it.
Well, it's all green this weekend. $21.5 million for Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married, which I think you know is a pretty good box office these days,
yeah.
You know, for a movie that's not The Transformers or something. So $21.5 million. Meanwhile, the game plan continues to rack up big box office. I think it's over $60 million already. That's with 11.5. That's with your boyfriend, The Rock, Lisa.
Right.
Michael Clayton, a movie you couldn't get away from the advertisements for, and stars Academy Award-winning George Clooney, only made $11 million over the weekend. It was number three.
Yeah, wow.
He's no Tyler Perry.
I saw it. It's a really good movie.
That's what everybody says. It's getting tremendous reviews, but it's just...
Maybe it wasn't in as many theaters, you think?
No, it was full.
Really?
Full on, yeah. But,
that's
I mean,
weird.
It's probably going to stick around a long time. It's going to be one of those movies that we'll be going to see throughout the holidays, I suspect.
I would hope.
Just because the reviews have been so good. Yeah. We Own the Night. You heard us talking to Ava Mendez a few minutes ago about this one. Debuted also at around $11 million. That's number four. Ben Stiller, The Heartbreak Kid, number five. Kevin, your movie, Elizabeth, The Golden Age?
Hello! Here's another damn movie about the Queen!
Debuted only at number six with only $6.2 million.
Well, tell them to stop making those!
The Kingdom, number seven. The Beatles film Across the Universe, number eight. Resident Evil Extinction, nine. And Seeker, The Dark is Rising, at number 10. So there's your box office top 10, courtesy of Daily Variety.
Maxim magazine finally put together a list that I can get behind. The unsexiest women in Hollywood.
Really? Yes. Ooh, that's fun.
The unsexiest.
Hmm.
I have the top five.
All right. Okay.
And none of them are going to be a surprise, and I think you're going to agree with all of them.
Now,
I think.
Are they going for the comedy unsexy, or are they going for the, I mean... Because if they're not going for the comedy, then they're going to put in your Rosie O'Donnell and your Cameron Mannheim. You know what I mean?
Not that unsexy. Those are guys.
No, this is about women. This is just women. Okay.
Yeah. Number five, Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially recently,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. And moving fast up that list, by the way.
Number four, Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
Not sexy.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Not
she's
sexy.
Female beef jerky. That's what we determined. Number three, Sandra Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ralph would be dancing.
Yes,
up
he
and
would.
Down.
He's very, very sad that he missed that because that's his personal. As a matter of fact, I believe I have a comment from Sandra Oh. Hang on, kind of loses its impact.
No, let's wait. This is good.
I feel like someone set me on fire.
Well, that explains how you made the list.
Number two of the unsexiest women in Hollywood, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, more skanky than sexy, I guess.
Yeah.
But number one, we can all agree on.
Yes.
Leatherface. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah! I gotta agree.
That girl can occasionally look okay
with
at best.
With the right lighting.
Yes, at best.
Yeah.
But at worst, wow.
She can look awful.
Woof.
Yeah.
So there's an actual good Good list from one of the magazines. How about that?
No kidding. Hey, I need my special guest for the Showbiz Beat this hour, Dave the King of Mexico, to step in for a story that I got. Dave is the expert that I'm going to need to go to.
Are they kind of time?
Director Robert Rodriguez, by the way, this is no surprise to anyone. He left his wife, Rose McGowan, when they were working together on Planet Terror. They announced they are engaged over the weekend.
Okay.
So that's a relationship that seems like it's working. And here's why I need Dave. Dave, as you know, is a big fan of actress Samara Armstrong, who you remember was Anna on The O.C. She played the girlfriend on Entourage. She was Emily, the girlfriend on Entourage.
Yes. Yeah. Now she's on Dirty Sexy Money.
Now she's on Dirty Sexy Money. Her representative told People magazine on Friday that she is taking leave of Dirty Sexy Money to resolve some personal issues, but refused to elaborate.
Oh.
Dave?
You think Dave might know?
Well, he's, you know, Dave's a pretty good stalker.
Yeah.
Dave, let's face it, Dave's a guy who spends, you know, 23 and a half hours a day online looking up checks. So I figure if anyone knows what's going on with Samara, he will.
You know what? She's been out of all the blogs and everything, so I have nothing on her.
She's not in your house, is she?
Tied up.
Tied up? In your bedroom?
No rumors or anything?
Nothing that she is clean right now. I mean,
is she a party girl?
No.
You don't see her much?
I don't see anything about her.
Because that sure sounds like rehab, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, and if it's rehab, by the way.
There's no pictures of her.
Why
nothing.
Wouldn't you say that at this point? I mean, it's not like anybody would be surprised.
It's a rite of passage, for God's sake.
Yep. All right, Dave, your job today is to get to the bottom of what's going on with Samara Armstrong. She's very pretty and a very talented actress.
Yep, I'll find out.
Okay, thank you,
Dave. Anyone can do it, Dave can.
That's right.
By the way, why is your face red? He's got the alcoholic red face.
That's probably what it is. I don't know.
You know the guys that drink so much that
Edward
most
Kennedy?
Of them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's a little young to get that though, isn't he?
Have you seen him drink?
He's more like rash face. You doing something with a girl?
Wow! Oh, please.
What's wrong with you?
That's a good question.
That's not even a good question.
Or did you fall in poison ivy?
I don't know.
Just checking.
Is that her name?
See?
Whoa!
Hey. He's sick, but he's not down.
How do you do it? One of the ugliest divorces in British history is getting worse. We reported on Friday, Paul McCartney, Heather Mills settled on how much they were going to split their all of his money, I should say.
Right.
$150 million is what was being reported on Friday. Not a joke.
Oh.
According to the Sun, the London Sun, which is a British tabloid, they say that Heather turned down Paul's $100 million offer.
Because she doesn't have a leg to stand on.
After she said she was going to be okay with that, but he also wanted to make it so that she couldn't talk about the details of his personal life, and she said, okay, then no.
Really? Why does she? Why does she?
Because she can publish a book and make so much money.
I don't think she would. I don't know.
You don't think she would?
I think she would publish a book. I don't know how much it would make because she just seems like the bitter, ugly.
Yeah, but if there's inside
dirt. Yeah, but if it's true.
But if she's going to write that he beat her or write that, you know, he's a junkie, I mean, any number of things would drive sales of a book like that. But she's not going to make more off that book than she'd make off of a juicy divorce settlement with Paul.
So is she asking for an extra $50 million not to
do
that?
I don't know about the $150 million. That was Friday.
Oh, okay. So
this particular report says that she turned down his $100 million. Because you got to live. I mean, you got to put food on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. The saddest part is they have a kid, and I was just guessing about the book, but if you would actually do that to your child's dad, that's just awful.
You're not suggesting Heather Mills is not a good person.
Not like that I am.
She's just brutal.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Paul. You know what? With the kind of money he has, he could have afforded to have her just killed and buried in the desert. I mean, that's how she ought to look at it. $100 million or snuffed? I'll take the $100 million.
That'd be his offer, right.
Let me see. What else on the Monday Showbiz Beat? Cindy Crawford, according to the National Enquirer, apparently flipped out when a fan asked her to sign a copy of Playboy magazine. Remember when she was in Playboy a few years ago?
Right.
She was doing an autograph signing for the watch that she represents at a jewelry store in Dallas, Texas. And apparently the deal was that she would only sign the ads for the watch. But if you're a Cindy Crawford fan, you got the Playboy, you take it on down there. Would it kill her? I mean, she did it. It's not like it's a... You know, it's a bootleg sex tape or something like that. I mean, she signed
it. That's
weird. But apparently the guy with the Playboy was asked to leave. Her people verify the story, saying that Cindy was put in an awkward position.
Yeah? Don't you at that point just sign it and let the guy move on and be done?
And then we don't even know about it.
Yeah,
we're
probably
not even talking about it. Yeah. Just the guy's got a Playboy. Yeah, exactly. But she, by the way, unbelievable how gorgeous she still is.
She looks fabulous, and her children are so
the best looking
beautiful kids
in history.
Are they? I haven't seen her kids.
Oh my God.
Oh, I always thought it would be funny if these beautiful people had ugly kids. That always would crack me.
I always think it's funny too, but you can't believe how cute these kids are. I mean, it really is. It's freakish.
Yeah.
It really is. And one of the movies I'm most looking forward to this fall, you know, we're into the season that the new movies are coming out, and so many of them, they're so good. Because for some reason, they saved the Oscar bait for this time of year, right? Is American Gangster. You guys have probably seen the trailers for that.
Yes.
With Denzel Washington playing the evil, corrupt gangster guy.
That looks great.
It looks amazing. T.I. is in the movie, very popular rapper, T.I. And he was arrested over the weekend. Apparently, the New York Daily News says that T.I. was arrested for having machine guns and silencers in his house that he wasn't authorized to have. T.I.'s people are saying, you know what, it's not mine, it's the bodyguards, they have them.
Sure.
Didn't have anything to do with me. But he was scheduled to be on the BET Hip Hop Awards that night on Friday when he was arrested, so he wasn't able to be there because he was behind bars.
He was on parole or something, wasn't he?
I think he was.
I think he was, and that's what made it so much worse.
Exactly, yeah.
Do they have silencers for machine guns?
This is my thought. How scary is that?
Oh my God. I've never heard of those, right? No kidding.
Anyway, he's picked up by federal agents on over the weekend in an ATF sting. And he, by the way, won two awards at the show, even though he wasn't there. But he says it's, you know, the man just trying to keep him down. So I don't know. I mean, when you've got a bunch of bodyguards that are in and out of your house all the time, it seems to me it would be kind of hard to prove that you had anything to do with buying this stuff if somebody else buys it. You know what I mean?
Do you know where he lives?
What Atlanta.
State? Atlanta. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what the laws are there about machine guns, but in most of the country, it's not good.
Yeah.
Machine gun with silencers, dude. You know how we've been talking about the Diddy Proactive commercial?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you see the New York Page Six article on Jessica Simpson? You know how much she gets paid?
Oh, I know that's big money doing those infomercials.
She signed for one more year for $3 million.
Oh, my God.
For like a 30-minute, like one-time infomercial.
She's got to be making more from that than she is from selling records or doing movies.
No question. Yeah.
You know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no Proactive.
Yeah.
So Diddy, whoa, Proactive. Now, y'all into skincare products. Now y'all think it's official. Well, ha, I got a secret. I was up on Proactive for 7 years. That's why I got silky smooth cocoa butter skin.
That's right. That's right.
And finally, for me, I don't ordinarily steer you toward the view.
Yeah.
But if you ever wanted to know what the face of Satan is like, if you ever actually wanted to see evil on your television, I want you to envision this combination of events all happening at one time today on your TV set. You may have to unplug your set from the wall, otherwise your house will blow up. You've not only got the view, which Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara Walters are both on, okay?
Right.
So you're already starting in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
The guests today are Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton and Evanescence on the same show. All of that happening.
Wow.
It sounds like a portal to hell.
Wow.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a nightmare. You're the only one that watches that show.
I expect
give it up.
Ray Wise to come out of that show as the Reaper and go, this is what happens to you if you sell your soul to the devil.
That's good news because we can avoid all of those people at the same time.
That sounds like the worst combination I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Evanescence and Senator Clinton on The View. It just sounds like what would the only show you'd be able to get on your TV in hell, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just on a continuous loop.
All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Remember the BAM guy. Famed chef Emeril Lagasse turns 48 years old today. There's a guy who looks bad for 48. I thought he was like 60. Actress, director Penny Marshall, 65. The dumbest man in show business, Eric Benet. Don't know the name? He's the one who cheated on Halle Berry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He's 37 years old today. Former Bond girl Tanya Roberts, who now won't shut up about those weekends in Las Vegas, is 52. And the reason we all celebrate today is the great Tito Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. Tito Jackson. My favorite of the Jackson 5. He turns 54. That's the K-Rock Showbiz. All I'm saying is I'm happy for the Armenian comedian to get to play with a band like the White Stripes. That's all I'm happy.
That was not him.
Clearly that was him on the recorder.
That was not him on the recorder.
All right. It's 6:08 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tony Hawk on the program today. Later this hour, by the way, we'll talk to Michelle Ryan. She is TV's bionic woman. So here's if you do a Google search for homemade tattoos, which is what we're about to talk about here at 1-800-520-1067. Here's one of the first article that comes up. And I think I think a lot of people listening will identify with this. Yeah, bad tattoos are basically a bummer, right? But they're also pretty much a rite of passage for bored and disenfranchised feeling teenagers the world over. At least it was for about 95% of the people I know. Going to a reputable tattoo shop and getting a wizard or a unicorn drilled into your lower back is totally fine. But nothing really takes the place of sitting around with a bunch of friends and some beers, enthusiastically taking turns, poking each other's arms full of bad ideas, which is actually fun at any age. It's easy. Anyone can do it, even teenagers who, according to recent scientific tests, don't even have a fully functioning brain. You probably already have the materials you need at your disposal. And best of all, nothing shows the true fortitude of character quite like learning to live with a bad decision.
Yeah, definitely.
Homemade tattoos, Raiders fans. That's what we're talking about.
Not just Raiders fans, all right?
No, but that's got to be number one.
This came to my attention when we had Dave Grohl into the studio because he did an interview with Mojo Magazine. And he was talking about how he has a John Bonham tattoo from Led Zeppelin. And then at the end of it, he says, before that, when I was 12 or 13, Dave Grohl says, I gave myself a black flag tattoo, prison style, with a needle and pen ink.
Oh, God.
And he reveals three of the four stripes. Like the black flag tattoo is the four offset bars.
Uh-huh.
He has three of them on his arm. And the guy says, what's up with that? And he says, it hurt. So he only gave himself three out of the four.
But it didn't hurt enough after just one to stop.
Nope.
He made it through two.
Yep.
Survived the third.
Yes.
Then that was too much.
Couldn't do the fourth.
So now it's really, if you take one bar away, that makes it black fag.
Yes, it kind of does, actually.
Nearly as I can tell.
It kind of does.
Are there any circumstances, and again, your phone calls about your homemade tattoos or friends of yours who have homemade tattoos at 1-800-520-1067. Are there any circumstances anyone in this room can imagine sitting around going, yes. I know, let's make our own tattoo?
Yeah, and anything having to do with alcohol, that happens. When you're drinking, everything sounds like the greatest idea. I know what I'll do. I'll give myself a tattoo. That'll be awesome. And then, of course, it's not.
But even if you're drunk, you have to envision how bad that tattoo is going to look compared to having a professional do it with professional tools and professional ink.
But you can't do it when you're drunk with a professional.
That's true.
And you need it right now.
And if you're 12 or 13 like Dave Grohl was, they don't exactly, you know, give 12-year-olds tattoos.
Yeah, that is true, I guess.
So you got to do it yourself. And you know that there are plenty of people who have done that. Let's talk to Ron in West Covina. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi, Ron.
Homemade tattoo, huh?
Yes.
Tell us.
Basically, me and my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, we're hanging out and I, you know, got a little wasted. And we just thought, you know, it would be a great idea because at the time I was drunk, so I didn't realize how much of a bitch she was. And I thought I was in love with her.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm like, hey, I love you, baby. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to get my name tattooed on my butt.
Your own name? Her name or your
name?
Her name.
Her
name on your butt. Okay.
Yes. Oh, God, it's so late. Everything's closed. Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. No, no, I'm doing it now. Now.
But you didn't do it yourself, did you?
No, she did it.
She tattooed her own name on your ass.
She branded me with her name, and now,
Dude.
And then I got the name of the chick who ripped my heart out.
How quickly thereafter did you break up?
Was it like a month?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
and the sad thing was, I wouldn't remember the tattoo if it wasn't for the fact that I rolled over and my ass was like on fire.
Sure.
Yeah,
now,
sure. Now, what happens with every woman you've been with since then? How you have to have that conversation about why there's another woman's name on your butt.
No, they just don't see my butt anymore. I always wear underwear. Always.
You just come at her from the front.
Well, that's sexy.
Backs out of the room.
Thank you, Ron.
He backs out.
All right. I think so far you're right, Kevin. So far, alcohol seems to be involved.
Every one of them, I'm sure. Let's go to Dave in Burbank, who also has the ex-girlfriend. By the way, if you don't mind us saying girlfriend slash even wife.
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah.
I mean, has no one learned from the fact that there's a 50% divorce rate? You don't tattoo someone's name on your body.
And
unless
it's
your kid.
And when you start to think about, hey, I'm going to get my significant other, just remember that Angelina Jolie is married to Brad Pitt, yet walks around with a Billy Bob tattoo. Do you want to be that person?
Dave does. Dave did. Hey, Dave.
What's up?
Does your story start, I was drunk?
First of all, I didn't call in on Saturday. This is Santa Monica.
I knew it. Nicely done. All right, let's go to John, who is calling from West Hills. Good morning, John. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning,
hey,
Lisa.
The greatest idea in the world at the time is the homemade tattoo. What'd you get?
It was the summer before freshman year in high school, and I was hanging out with a group of guys who they thought they were cool, and they kind of made me think that I would be cool, too.
Right.
And so I got a gang tattoo. I got, like, the cross with the three dots, the My Crazy Life on my left hand.
Which is probably Omar was guessing, was probably going to be the most popular one that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't
in
the gang, John?
No, that's
not in the game.
You are now.
You are now for the rest of your life.
I went through the pain of putting it on my hand, and I actually did it with a protractor.
A protractor? Ouch!
with thread wrapped around the end of it and some Indian ink. And, yeah, so now I got this cool little souvenir to look at for the
Excellent.
Rest of my life.
Excellent. And you have to try to explain to people. No. That's not. I'm not a member of. I thought it was cool one night.
Complete. My middle name is Thomas, so I always tell people that it's a lowercase T.
Oh, good.
Nice try.
Does it work?
No.
Because a lot of people get the first initial of their middle name tattooed. Hey, let's talk to Sarah on line two, only because she's the first woman we've had call in. 1-800-520-1067. Sarah, we're talking about homemade tattoos. Sounds like you've been there.
I got a heart tattoo on the inside of my middle finger.
Inside of middle finger.
And what was going on at 2 a.m. that night?
Well, I don't know. Everybody was at my friend's house, and my friend's aunt was doing tattoos, and I was like, hey, can I maybe get one too? And she was a little bit drunk, but not enough to where she couldn't, like, draw a heart.
Right. But so, but did they have professional equipment, or was it the home style thing?
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was, like, professional.
She can't remember. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it was. If you can't remember, you were drunk.
Well, that doesn't count. We're looking for people who did it with, like, a kitchen knife. You know what I mean? That's what we're looking for. All right. Thank you for the call.
Sir.
All right. We got to take a break. We got some fantastic calls on the line, though. Apparently, our audience is into the homemade tattoos.
Oh, sure.
What a shock.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take some more calls.
She doesn't have a bionic hoo-ha, does she? That's not part of the deal. I don't remember.
I don't think so. No. I saw
remember.
The parts.
Okay. No. Yeah. I wasn't sure what they replaced on her, but how cool would that be?
I think it was eyes, ears, one arm, two legs.
One arm, and one ear,
yeah.
One
anyway, Michelle Ryan
left breast too.
Is bionic woman. Wednesdays at 9 on NBC. We'll talk to her coming up next. Right now, though, we're talking about homemade tattoos at 1-800-520-1067. Now, I am very disappointed. I don't think we got a single Raider tattoo on the list here.
No, that's true.
And I know you're out there. So give us a call.
All right. Let's go to Gina in Buena Park. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning.
Hi there. You got a homemade tattoo?
Yeah. My boyfriend at the time was in juvie, and he was able to sneak out a homemade gel gun. Had a spoon. It was all kind of rigged up. It was really weird. But, yeah, we were drinking like a fifth of JD and rock at the time. totally not a good idea. Talked each other into giving ourselves tattoos, and I'm sitting there tattooing my ankle thinking, oh, I'm doing a happy face, peace sign, it's looking good. And when I sober up, it's just two little circles with dots all through them.
Oh. So you can't even tell what it is?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's it.
Nice.
And you have to explain that all the time to people?
All the time. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's no good.
No, it's not.
Do people start laughing immediately when they say your boyfriend got out of juvie and had a jail gun?
I just go, under the influence, not a good idea.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Gina. How about that, man? People just, there's no end to it, is there?
Nope.
Brian?
But as we've often said, and you can take this to the bank, the best decisions you can make about things that last forever is when you're drunk.
Brian and Covina, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Brian.
Talking about homemade tattoos. What do you got?
I have a person's name on my butt.
And do you know that person?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
We were friends.
Ex-girlfriend? Oh, friends.
Yeah.
So this is a guy.
Yes, it is.
You have a guy's name on your
Dude.
Back? No, wait. No, the best part is ask me where I got the tattoo.
Where did you get the tattoo?
In prison.
Oh, good.
So
yes.
I hate to race ahead of the story, but were your choices to get a tattoo of his name on your ass or to give him your ass?
No, the funny thing is, he was a good guy, you know, the whole thing about rape in prison. It's true, luckily for me, not in my case.
Okay.
But I lost a bet, and we were kind of joking around thinking, you know what, how sad would that be? You know, one of us gets out, and, you know, you're hanging out with your friends, everyone's talking about prison, and then I'll know somebody accidentally or somehow sees your butt. And there's someone's name on, like, tattooed on your butt. You look like, wait a minute,
yeah.
Is that a girl's name? That's a guy's name.
Brian, what's the guy's name?
Bubba.
Snake.
What is it?
Snake. Did you say snake?
Snake. That's
you have name. You have snake on your ass.
I have snake tattooed on my butt.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
It is. That's the best story ever.
By the way, none of us believe that he didn't violate you first, just so you know.
It was love.
Well, right next to that tattoo is another tattoo that, like, says number served. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't doubt that either.
Well, but he didn't rape me. Though.
I hope you and Snake are very, very happy together. Thank you.
Thank you.
He didn't rape me. And Senator Craig's not gay, by the way.
You are so gay.
Right. Snake. That's awesome, though. At least you could try to convince somebody it's not someone's name.
Yeah, that's like a cool nickname for you.
Right.
Let's go to Louie in Costa Mesa. Good morning, Louie.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Homemade tattoos.
When I was young, I was about 20 years old, I decided to prove my love to my girlfriend at the time. And so I got a tattoo of her face, tattoo on my shoulder, my back. And but at the time, the guy was doing the tattoo for me, did it with a string, a guitar string.
Right.
And my girlfriend's young son's little car, toy car, the motor, what you do, you take the motor out of the car and they make you gun with string with the guitar needle.
How about that?
That's creative.
You got to use whatever you got, I guess.
Well, we were high tech at the time.
Right.
And so I decided to take the tattoo. I get it on my back. I was drunk out of my butt.
How long till you broke up with her?
Took me 13 years to realize I had an ugly tattoo. My back.
13 years.
You don't. If you're going to get a homemade tattoo, you don't do it of someone's face.
No, that doesn't
seem.
I mean,
that takes a little bit of artistic. Yeah,
get
talent,
an American flag or something. You know, something that
something
anyone
basic.
Can draw.
Who's going to want an American flag, though?
Well, I'm just saying something that's easy to draw. That's
all. I love this country.
I am so patriotic. I gotta prove it.
Let's go to Adam in Orange County. Good morning, Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hello,
Adam. Are you there?
All right. Turn down your radio and speak with us, please. All right. That explains a lot about Adam right there. He doesn't know how to work a phone. What makes us be surprised?
He was Black Flag, which is why I wanted to talk to him. But. All right. Let's go to Dan in Azusa. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Homemade tattoos. What do you have, man?
We were about 18, and we had, just gotten this cool credit card from the bank, so we're like, we need to order a tattoo gun online and give ourselves tattoos, you know?
Sure.
So we get the gun, but we didn't realize, well, dude, you need needles and ink. So we just went to the guitar store and picked up a pack of strings. We heard it worked. Wrapped it around. Then we went to Staples, and we figured, the best ink to get would be, the copy ink for office copiers.
Right. So you're really piecing this together.
So far, I'm with you. So far, every decision is the right one.
Here's what's the best about this guy is that it's not like one night when they were drunk. He had to plan. He had to order online.
No,
he had to go to stores. All right.
I get on my hand. I already have some tattoos on my hand. I get this happy face, like a stick figure happy face. You know,
right.
It can be cool.
Yeah,
thing is,
cool.
I'm a white boy from West Covina, Azusa area, and everything faded except the three dots for the eyes and the nose. So now I got the my crazy life on my hand.
I like it.
And
sure.
It looks like that a little bit.
I like it.
I got this these two hearts on my leg. I thought it'd be cool. I'd do it myself. Shade them in, real cool, dude. I just got these two stupid hearts. It says I love D for my name, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
I got that up on my leg.
You love yourself?
Wait a minute. You tattooed two hearts and you love yourself on your own leg.
Yeah, I heart D.
Dude, there's nobody who sees that who doesn't assume the D stands for dick. I got news for you.
Yeah. And they're right, by the way. We're going to talk to the brand new bionic woman coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, we're going to play this song and then we're going to tell you how you can see it perform live this Wednesday night.
Okay, bro. How about I unbutton my shirt a little bit, huh? Smoke cigarette? Tell you where I'm coming from. Glendale!
Browdown!
Glendale's my town!
Browdown!
I love System of a Down!
Browdown!
Because I'm Armenian, bro! Covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe! Track car cologne ingrained in my chromosome! Come to my shop, I give you pager and a cell phone! Jewelry on my arm from the knuckle up! Hop in my BMW and then I buckle up! Cruising through Glendale, smoking cigarettes, looking for my homeboys, bitch, or even better yet, a nice Armenian girl I can flirt with, covered in fur even when the bitch is shirtless. Check my breath, it smells something awful. I should have brushed my teeth after I had that falafel.
Hummus, kebab, shawarma, tabbouleh.
I have to shave my unibrow, it's getting unruly, and shave my back hair to keep it in check. My penis is so hairy that it has a pubic turtleneck. So brow down, Armenian pride, I slick back my hair as I cruise to the west side. Glendale Galleria, Armani Exchange, gonna get a silk shirt within my price range. Marlboro cigarettes and cologne, gonna go back to my shop and then I'll slang more cell phones. That's right, bro. You know what it's like. Life of Armenian player, huh? Hit that chorus one more time.
Brown.
So, okay, for good, this is what
Brown.
Bro.
So there you go. That's Browdown, and it's going to be performed Wednesday night at the Whiskey. There's a charity event going on for Thai hookers. Not kidding. Not kidding.
Awesome. Wait, a charity event to raise money to hire Thai hookers?
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, to help Thai hookers
get out of the life.
Yes. No. Oh, that's a step in the wrong direction.
So that's going to happen Wednesday night. It's Band Packs. That's the band that Psycho Mike is in. And Sanchez, which is the band that does this particular song that we love so much here on K-Rock.
That is a hell of a double bill right there. Again, where is it? The Roxy's, are you saying?
Whiskey.
And DJ Omar is going to be on the ones and twos. So it's going to be a big night and for charity and your chance to see songs like that live on stage. So that's a good deal right there. It's 6:41 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tony Hawk coming up in about a half an hour. Right now, though, very excited to welcome to the program TV's Bionic Woman. She is Michelle Ryan. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone. Hey, Michelle.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good morning. Congratulations on Bionic Woman.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you know, for folks who don't follow the ratings, they may not realize that it's almost impossible to put a new television show on the air and have people watch it these days.
Sure.
And so far, there's two hits. There's The Private Practice, which had the benefit of being a Grey's Anatomy spinoff.
Right.
And there's your show, Bionic Woman, which people, I guess there was some enormous pent-up demand for the Bionic Woman that I was not aware of, but the people are out there.
Yeah, I think there are, you know, the original show was huge, and I think that, you know, there's definitely an audience that we've been able to sort of, you know, get them to sort of come and watch. And I think, yeah, it's when a new show launches, it's daunting, and you kind of, everyone's sort of checking each week. But if we can continue to sort of hold the numbers that we have, I think we'll be okay.
Sure. Now, you came from Britain, right? You were on a soap opera there?
Yep, I spent 5 years on a British soap. I left that 2 years ago and worked sort of nonstop over in the UK on different films and TV and theatre, and then I got the audition for Bionic Woman.
Was that a tough decision to? I mean, as an actress, let's face it, most actors and actresses do not work, and they certainly are underemployed. You had a steady gig, and you were very, very popular on that soap opera for 5 years. Was it scary for you to walk away from the guaranteed income to try to do something else?
No, I think, I guess being really young, I started at 16 and left at 21. You're kind of hugely optimistic. And I just couldn't wait to leave. It was more of like an apprenticeship. And I just sort of always saw it as a place where I could learn my craft and then move on. So I think I was sort of couldn't wait to get out and work on different things.
And those soap opera fans, they're crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the next day after you've been, you know, on the show in England, it's kind of, you get recognized, and at times it was sort of bringing in 20 million viewers an episode.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so it was huge.
Did you at least get a cool soap opera death when your character was written out? I mean, did you get to die in a car crash or anything?
No, I didn't. I just got to run away.
Oh, that's good. They're hoping you come back. That's why. All right. So,
yeah.
So you're doing some other work, and then you hear about the Bionic Woman audition. And this is something that I was fascinated with because we've been hearing for a couple of years that this show was coming. I'm sure every actress in the world wanted to apply for this role. What kind of audition process do they put you through to make sure that you can do the wide range of things required to be Jamie Summers?
Well, you would think that I would be tested on all of like the martial arts and the fight skills, but that wasn't part of it. I literally did one audition on tape, which was sent out to NBC. Then I flew out to LA and did a workshop, sort of like a big sort of audition, and then I had the job.
Wow.
So I really got it quite easily. I think they'd been searching and searching and couldn't find anybody, and I came in at the last minute and got the job.
And then they had to teach you all of the martial arts and stuff like that?
Yeah. I've done a lot of dance, so I find it quite easy to pick up the routines. We're kind of learning the fight sequences.
Same here.
And then choosing them.
How did you learn to run so fast?
Well, that's a little bit of CGI there.
Oh, all right.
Now, a lot of the stuff that they do, I'm thinking back, I guess more in the first episode than maybe some of the ones since, was the CGI where they build your new legs and everything like that. You didn't really, you know, see any of that, I guess, till it was already done. You just pull back the sheet, and then the next thing you know, you're watching the show, and it's unbelievable the stuff they're able to do and how real they're able to make it look.
Definitely. I mean, it's everything is so advanced now, and they have, you know, huge stunts, and they have in an episode coming up, there's sort of Jamie leaping across a building where they have the stunt lady sort of, you know, actually leaping across two buildings. I wanted to do it, but they were like, no, you're not allowed to do that one.
Oh, nice. All right, well, that person over there, we don't care so much about her. Jump over the building.
I was pretty surprised in the pilot, by the way, to see Jamie attempt the big leap for the first time, like 10 stories up between buildings. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to test that out on the ground a little bit before I start doing it up in the air.
I know you would think. I guess she's very very forward and just sort of throws herself into things. I think I guess I like that about her. But yeah, you'd think that she'd, you know, do a smaller little test run first.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, let me ask you about the American accent, because, you know, many people, when you interview them, they're probably shocked to hear this is how you really talk, because your American accent is so good on the show. Is it difficult to learn?
I didn't find it, difficult. I did an accent on the show. I was on EastEnders for 5 years, and I actually find it quite easy to slip into accents, and I find it gives you a real, you know, you can really get into character that way. The moment I sort of switch on the accent, I'm Jamie.
Wow, it seems like for coming British to American seems easier. I don't know anyone that can do a British accent well. Usually sounds...
It's really particular. I don't know. It's I think it's a tricky one, the English accent. Yeah.
We're talking to Michelle Ryan, by the way. She is the Bionic Woman, Wednesday nights at 9 on NBC. When you're doing an hour-long drama that you are the central character for, it seems to me like those are the kind of TV shows that put you in an early grave with the amount of hours that you have to work.
Thanks.
Well, I don't think he meant it quite that way.
No, I don't mean literally you're going to die, Michelle. I just mean I bet you're working 100 hours a week, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's sort of six. I mean, I did a 7-day week last week, and I think it's about six-day weeks coming up. So yeah, it's brutal. It's full on. But you know, as a young actress, you know, especially coming from the UK, to have this kind of opportunity is amazing. So I just sort of think of all the, you know, the positives when I'm you know, working really hard. And you know, it's a great crew and cast, and it's you know, it is a really fun character to play. So it's definitely something that you know, I can never get bored on. I'm always needed for something.
Were you aware of the show in Britain?
Not hugely. I remember seeing a couple of clips as a child, but you know, it's only when I got the job and I was sort of, my mom and aunties were like, wow, this is amazing, we love the original show. So but I think I'm realizing, you know, more and more since it's launched, how, you know, huge it was and how excited people are, really.
Now, how long till the action figures of your character? I can't imagine with the success of the show that that's not going to happen.
I guess if we get to the, you know, if we get a season, then I guess by the end of the first season, I would imagine if we get that far, that they'd probably bring out a doll or something.
Oh, that's going to be weird.
And that's not anything that anyone ever gets into acting to expect to happen. That has to be a surprise to every person that realizes, hey, now I'm an action figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, I guess it's an honor, really. It doesn't happen very often, so it would be good if we get that far.
I've been expecting that for a long time for this dumb radio show. It has not happened.
No, they don't really intend to make a lot of them for radio, guys.
You know what's funny, Michelle, is that our entertainment reporter, Ralph, has been obsessed with you. And he's been saying, we've got to get her on, we've got to get her on. He's out today, and he wrote us a very angry email over the weekend about how, oh, right, when I'm gone, you have her on the phone. Great.
Oh.
He was a huge fan of the Jekyll show, the BBC show that you did. I guess they showed it on BBC America here, and I think that's where he first saw you and fell deeply in love with you. So I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to say hi to Ralph, but we'll send your best to him.
Yeah, say hi from me, and shame I didn't get to talk to him.
All right, what about this Wednesday night? Anything you want to tell us about the new episode of The Bionic Woman on NBC?
Well, it's Jamie's first mission. Antonio Pope sort of takes her on this mission, and there's lots of sort of big stunts in this episode, and it's, it's a really cool episode.
Sounds like fun. Michelle, you got to be having the time of your life. We appreciate you talking to us on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Bionic Woman, Wednesdays, 9 o'clock, NBC.
Ralph is out for a couple days doing some TV work. We're filling in on the showbiz beat, but I think we have a complaint call already, Kevin, about the job that we've been doing here this morning. So let's go to line 8 real quick. Good morning, K-Rock.
You guys suck.
Hey, Ralph. What? Well, what are you talking about? We just talked to your girlfriend.
I know. You killed me. I love you so much.
I know. She sounds pretty sweet, doesn't she?
Yes.
Remember how much Ralph loves the English accent to the British accent?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's got a face that's just meant to be a target. I mean,
stop.
No, I'm just.
What's wrong with you?
No, I don't mean it like that. What are you guys thinking? You didn't think I meant that in a sexual way. Not at all.
You kind of did. We thought that. Yeah.
Sexual's the best way you could have meant that, by the way.
Well, did we screw it up, Ralph? Were you displeased with the interview?
No, actually, you did a pretty good job.
All right.
She does sound adorable.
I hate to admit it.
Yeah, I know.
I'd like to rust her bionic. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Ralph.
Fluid. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
I think we do. Yeah. How's the TV show? Is it going great?
It's going really well. I'm on the set right now, as the kids say in Hollywood.
All right.
Sure. Fantastic.
So I'm on my way to beautiful downtown Reseda, so I'm listening to you guys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, we.
Very glamorous life television. You go to Reseda.
That's what you dream about as a small child growing up in Philadelphia, as you make the big time in Reseda.
How about them Eagles, dude? How about them Eagles?
3-3, baby!
Well, listen, we miss you. When are you coming back? Thursday?
Thursday, I'll be back.
Yeah. Okay, we'll look forward to it. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
See you later. Look at that, a call from a working actor on his way to work here this morning.
Pretty cool.
It's awesome. All right, 6:56. Not much time, but we do have a few showbiz stories for you. We'll start with the weekend's top hot movies. This freaking Tyler Perry, by the way. Well, I don't have to tell you, if you're one of our blacklisters, you know he's your Lord and Savior. Another huge smash hit, $21.5 million for Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? He's one of the most reliable filmmakers. You know, you name all the big, you know, the big stars, the big writers, big directors. None of them are doing as well as this dude is.
Yeah, true.
It's unbelievable how much money this guy makes. Anyway, that was number one at the box office over the weekend. The Game Plan from The Rock. Number two has now made over $60 million, 11.5.
Jeez.
George Clooney debuted with the wide release of Michael Clayton this weekend. I don't know a single person who hasn't seen that and just thought it was the best movie of the year.
Excellent movie.
I haven't seen it and didn't say it was the best movie of the year.
I'm saying of the people who have seen it.
Who have seen it.
I is number four, as Dave calls it. Made $11 million. Number five was Ben Stiller's The Heartbreak Kid, which has to be a little bit of a disappointment.
Sure.
You know? Elizabeth the Golden Age, Kevin, number six, the box office, $6.2 million.
Well, seriously, do we need 17 Queen movies a year? Dear God.
How are you counting 17 Queen movies a year?
Seems like there's one every other week.
What?
Hello, stop it!
There was one last year and there's one this
year.
Well,
stop it!
20 years is too many?
Yes!
But it's Elizabeth the First and the Spanish Armada, and it has Clive Owen in it. It looks Jeffrey Rush is in it. I mean, it looks terrific.
Whatever.
Apparently, moviegoers agree with Kevin. It was only number six. The Kingdom at seven, Across the Universe eight, Resident Evil Extinction number nine, and something called Seeker the Dark is Rising at number 10 with $2.15 million. That's your hot 10 movies at the box office.
Speaking of working actors, Kevin Federline was in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh,
to do
no.
what?
Over the weekend to shoot episode 7 of his guest spot on One Tree Hill.
Come on. Who's hiring Kevin? Hey, look, is Kevin Federline even enough of a train wreck anymore that people will tune in out of curiosity? I don't think so. People have seen him.
I don't think so either. But
he's not a good enough actor to give the role to legitimately, and he's not enough of a celebrity to give the role to as a stunt.
Just telling you what he did over the weekend.
Oh.
Well, that does hurt, although he does have more of a career than Britney Spears.
Sure.
All right, here's a celebrity named Jimmy Kimmel, I want to say is his name.
Heard of him.
You guys heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he used to be on The Man Show or something. I don't know.
And then he was on this really lame radio show
right.
before that. Yeah.
I saw something yesterday, and this is so Jimmy, and we may have to talk to him about it. Next week, Jimmy Kimmel is filling in for Regis Philbin when Regis goes on vacation on Regis and Kelly.
No kidding.
In New York.
Okay.
Now, the reason that's news is because he's also doing his show every night in Hollywood, the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show at midnight in Hollywood. He's going to fly back and forth from Los Angeles to New York 5 days in a row to do both.
Well, that's just
that's
dumb
insane.
Planning.
So I guess he'll tape his show at, you know, what time does he do it? 8 o'clock or something like that?
Like 7. Yeah.
And then he'll probably go to LAX and jump on like a red eye or something like that. Get up, go do the Regis and Kelly show at 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is in New York, and then fly back to do his show here. He's doing it for the whole week.
Is he the only person left on TV?
Is there not?
He's trying to be Ryan.
Yeah, he is turning into Ryan Seacrest.
How dare you?
Well, come on. How do you?
How
it's crazy.
Dare you?
He's
going to
be worth nothing by Friday.
I know.
Hey,
I know.
Everybody, welcome to the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Well, in a city like New York, you can't find one person to fill in for Regis, I guess.
This is next week.
This is next week.
Let's try to line him up for an interview next week.
Yeah.
He seems to have plenty of time. time.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you guys know how soul-crushing it is to take one flight across country. Can you imagine if your job required you to drive to the airport and do it 5 days in a row?
Now, if someone's giving them a private jet...
You know what? Don't care. You're going to fly back and forth to New York every day. Yeah.
You better learn how to sleep on a plane.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Anyway, we will, if nothing else, we'll try to get him on the phone this week and find out what the deal is on that. But and then, by the way, he's also hosting the American Music Awards, too, next month, too. So the guy's got a lot going on.
According to Star Magazine, Clay Aiken, fat.
What?
Oh, how dare you.
F-A-T, fat.
How much has he gained?
How fat is he?
50 pounds.
Seriously.
He gained 50 pounds.
In high school, everybody called me fat ass.
Well, they're calling you worse than that now. That is...
I want to see photos.
That is sad, if that's true. Can you imagine what a...
sad? He's Clay Aiken. Who
cares? Can you imagine what a fat ex-American Idol would look like?
Yeah, it's like Clay Aiken.
Oh, Clay. Poor guy. All right, I think we're out of time. Let me do one more real quick, because we got Tony Hawk standing by after the news, and we want to make sure we have time with him. You know how we always talk about how the celebrities can only date other famous people?
Right.
And it's always interesting to see the laundry list of actresses that some of these guys date and actors that some of these... Well, Rihanna is apparently the hottie. Apparently, she's the one that everybody wants to go out with.
She's pretty cute.
She's way hot and way talented, too. She dated Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. She dated Shia LaBeouf. And recently had a major hookup with Josh Hartnett in New York City. And apparently they were all over each other drinking, sucking down Dom Perignon, make it out, left the club together, the whole deal.
Okay.
You don't see the women very often doing what the guys do, which is just to run through the Hollywood Rolodex. But Rihanna is well on her way. I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2-3 punch right there in a short time.
Yeah, definitely.
Good for her.
More power to her.
She's doing what she should be doing.
I don't know how old she'll be when she finally gets down to our level of celebrity, but I hope she still looks good.
120.
Because I am very much looking forward to my hour with Rihanna. I'll tell you that. Celebrity birthdays. Emeril Lagasse turns 48 years old today. Couldn't look any worse for a guy who's 48. You think with as good as he eats, he would look better?
No, he eats that
he
food.
He's good, but really rich food. Yeah.
Fat.
Actress-director Penny Marshall, 65.
Fat.
Former James Bond girl Tanya Roberts. You also know her from...
Not fat.
Don't know.
Not fat at all.
Okay.
No. She was a Bond girl in A View to a Kill, if I remember correctly. Of course, she was also on That 70s Show for all those years. She turns 52. And the reason we all celebrate today, of course, the great Tito Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. Tito.
Tito is
54, and that's the K-Rock Show Biz Beat. By the way, Tony Hawk's Proving Ground comes out tomorrow. We're going to give away some copies here in a minute, but first... Let's talk to the man himself, Tony Hawk, back on the Kevin and Bean Sean Carrick. Good morning, Tony.
Hello.
How you been, dude?
Good. Busy.
You are. Tony is a guy, if you think he retired, think again, because the guy does more in a day than I do in a year. It's unbelievable the stuff that you're involved in. But this is the big one. This is one you've been looking forward to for a long time, is Proving Ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like this is our best effort just because we've taken all the best features of previous games and expanded on them, and now we know how to program for the new consoles like the PS3 and 360 and the Nintendo Wii, so I just feel like we finally figured it out, and this game is huge.
Is the Nintendo Wii way different?
Well, our version of the game is not, but the Wii itself is different in that the controls, the way that you
right.
work them. And,
right, you,
and,
you move it a lot. I just didn't know if that would make you have to make a completely different game almost.
No, because people are used to our control scheme with the buttons.
Right.
So we tried to map it as close as we could to the actual Wii controls. The only time we do something completely different is like when we did last year, we did Downhill Jam, and so that's a different control scheme because it's a different game,
right.
And it was made just for the Wii.
Mm. Now, Tony, what's new in this? I mean, it seems like there's so many features, but I don't know how many of these you've had available in some of your previous games, like the Freedom to Play option, for instance. Tell me about that. Is that different in this Proving Ground?
It's different in the sense that the areas you can play on are just way bigger, and we've got three main cities, Philadelphia, D.C., and Baltimore, and they're all interconnected, and it's just this huge playing ground. But we have other features, like we have a video editor, so you can take your best clips that you've done and change the camera angles and actually make your own videos and share them online.
Make your own video of you, playing the game.
Of you, yeah, exactly.
Wow. that is going to be a very popular feature.
I'm telling you, hey, all the kids now, they all know how to use iMovie and Final Cut.
Sure.
And we have the controls are very similar, so... You know, it's almost like we had to wait for that technology to catch up so we could add these features because kids now understand how to work those things.
Right. How good are you at playing Proving Ground?
I'm good. I can beat most of the pro challenges.
Right.
Some of them I can do just amateur, but some are I can do the six. So I'm a decent player. Let's put it that way.
It has to be when you play up against somebody who's better than you are. It has to just make their day that they can beat Tony Hawk at skateboarding.
Yeah, I don't give too many opportunities for that. But no. I've actually been caught off guard a couple times where you know they wanted me to play live, say on this German television show.
Right, of course.
And they had a guy that won some sort of series or competition to get on the show to play against me.
Oh.
And the guy destroyed me.
Yeah. We tried to play Tom from Rage Against the Machine in Guitar Hero, and he wouldn't do it.
Yep.
Same thing.
He said he sucks.
I play the real one. I play the real one. You'll kill me, and then you'll tell everybody you know that you beat me.
Yeah. Well, I can hold my own. Like, we did that. I don't know if you guys know, but I did a show with Stryker called The Ultimate Gamer.
Yes, right, on right. G4, right.
Right, and so they pimped this guy out who, you know, he was really into our game, and they gave him a whole new setup, and, you know, well, they hid him away, and then they brought him home, and, wow, he had this big setup, and I was sitting there ready to play against him, and I guess I was lucky, but I destroyed him.
Nice.
Because he's a pretty good gamer, but he wasn't that good, so
right.
I felt like, you know, there was a lot of pressure on me doing this on Spike, and then... So I was glad that I could hold my own.
And
on that one.
Did that make you happy to make him cry?
Yeah. Why don't you beat up on some more little kids? Huh?
Hey, you know what? The guy got like a huge plasma. He got every single game, every system.
The only thing
a little humiliation after that.
The only thing that would make it better is if now you tell us he was also a little bit retarded. I mean, geez, why kick the guy when he's down?
The soundtrack looks good. Angels and Airwaves, Bad Brains, Beastie Boys, Block Party, Foo Fighters, Clash, Sex Pistols.
Well, you know, I feel like that's one of the things that people expect from us now.
Right.
Is that we've got a really diverse soundtrack, but it represents skating and the punk scene really well. And now that we're not, you know, we're on DVD-based media, we can just put a ton of songs in there. So
right.
This one's just up there with all the rest.
This is Tony Hawk we're talking to on the line. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground comes out tomorrow, and it's awesome that it's available for everything. Xbox 360, PS3, Wii, PS2, Nintendo. I mean, it's awesome. Let me ask you this, because I know that you give a lot back to the community, especially to the skaters. And you did that thing that I saw on the news in Beverly Hills a couple of weeks ago where you raised over $1 million. And that is for what? For skate parks around the country?
Yeah, well, our foundation, we support public skate parks in low-income areas. So we really focus on the communities with the most at-risk youth and the least privileges for their kids. And so we've been doing that for the last 5 years. And this was our fourth fundraising event.
Right.
And every year we've managed to raise a little more, and then this year we finally broke $1 million. We raised $1,025,000.
That's awesome.
Nice. Did you put in the last $30 just to get it over the line?
It wasn't me.
It's funny though, because this thing in Beverly Hills had a lot of people you'd expect, like, you know, Sean White, Matt Hoffman, and people like that. But then you also had, like, Trent Reznor was there. I mean, stuff like that is just got to. It's still, even at this point in your career, it has to be weird. Some of the people that you end up hanging out with, Tony.
Oh, and now and especially, I mean, I was on stage with Lance Armstrong on that one.
Yes,
you know, Lance attended our event, and then P. Diddy was in the crowd, and Russell Simmons. And so surreal, you know. Our foundation director, Mickey Vukovic, he and I went to high school together. He and I were the only skaters in our high school.
And, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, we were
you're the outcast, right?
We were lower than nerds on the cool hierarchy.
Wow. Right, sure.
And you know, people just used to make fun of us because we skated. And then there we are, both of us on stage at Beverly Hills looking out at this sea of celebrities. And
that's hilarious.
Like, are you kidding me?
You ever go back to your high school reunion and go, all right, people, who's the nerd now?
No, well, they didn't pretend to like me back then. I don't want to have them pretend to like me now.
Right. Now, one more thing on this, on your foundation, you talk about the skate parks for the underprivileged kids and, you know, tough neighborhoods and stuff. Do you find that a lot of those people gravitate toward your sport? They get interested? I mean, give them a skateboard, that really does kind of give them something to focus on and maybe keep them out of crime and drugs and whatnot?
Yeah, and also I think just the fact that it's an individual pursuit and they can do it at their own pace and they don't have a coach, you know, telling them what to do, or they're relying on a team for their own success. It's just it really teaches you self-motivation and self-confidence, and I feel like especially kids in those situations that, you know, they're not looking for someone to tell them exactly what to do, but if they find this and it keeps them out of trouble, then that's great.
Sure. What's the most difficult trick to perform on your game?
Wow, that is a tough question. I think that you know, there are a lot of different combos in our game. So the more tricks you can link in a row, that's that, and if you can do the special moves, like my character is the Indy 900,
right,
and 3605, you can throw those into a combo, you get millions of points for it. And I can't, there's not one hardest move.
Do you have the Jake Brown big air belly flop?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that one where the shoes explode off the guy's feet?
That's the hardest move to recover from. Sure.
Yeah, that's an image that no one will ever forget, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, especially when I was the one commentating on it live.
Oh, dear God.
So that was a tough one to keep the banter going as he was laying,
yes,
there still.
Yep. Hey, remember, these guys are professionals. And
yeah, can we go to commercial now?
Yeah, exactly.
And all you're really thinking is, please get up, please get up, please
yeah,
get up.
The whole time. And as soon as they cut to commercial, all my friends are texting me, like, dude, is he okay? Is he moving? Is he okay?
No, that was something else. All right, Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, available everywhere tomorrow. If you've ever played a Tony Hawk game, you know how great they are, and it sounds like this one is really pushing the limits. I mean, it just sounds like it's amazing with all this new stuff. And the fact that you can create your own skate videos from the game, that's the coolest.
We actually have five of them to give away for the first five people to call 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to try it out. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, it's for Xbox 360, PS3, Wii, PS2, all kinds of different systems, and it's available tomorrow.
So, Tony, sounds like things are going great with you, man. It's always good to catch up.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye now.
Ralph is out for a couple of days. It is Friday, and that means the Movie Beat is here, and we couldn't be more pleased to have Mr. Movie Phone filling in to take a look at this weekend's new offerings. Good morning, Russ. How are you, dude?
Hello.
Hello, Russ.
Have you lost the ability to talk in a regular conversation?
I really have. Yeah. I really have. You
Kevin,
know whatever pays the bills, Kevin. Whatever
right.
pays the bills.
I got you.
You're going to love this. Mr. Moviefoot and I are actual email buddies, and yesterday we spent a great deal of time comparing features on our new washer dryers that we both purchased this week. That's the kind of fun Mr. Moviefoot and I are having when we're not at work.
Horrible conversationalist you must be.
By the way, you're dead wrong, because you've got the front loading, you've got the top loading.
It's all
very complicated.
Don't care, my friend.
All right.
My Whirlpool kicks your Whirlpool's ass. That's all I've got to say. What do you like this weekend, Mr. Moviefoot?
Well, you know, when I was here, I guess it was a month or so ago, I was saying that each and every week we're going to have at least one movie that's killer that people can spend $10 on and feel good about it.
Right.
Got it. We got another one this week. The man is George Clooney. The movie is Michael Clayton.
Looks so good.
Yes.
It really does. You know, it's got to be Hollywood's biggest leading man right now, I think. He plays Michael Clayton. He's a fixer at one of the largest corporate law firms in New York. He's one of those guys that makes problems go away. But he has a fellow attorney played by the always good Tom Wilkinson. He discovers that their client has actually been poisoning thousands of people with pesticide. So his conscience gets the better of him. He goes crazy and sabotages this massive environmental class action lawsuit. So obviously that's a big problem. If you got a clip, let's take a listen.
If it's real, the pill won't kill it.
I have blood on my hands.
You are the senior litigating partner of one of the largest, most respected law firms in the world. You are a legend.
I'm an accomplice.
You're a manic depressive.
I am Shiva, the god of death.
Wow. Dude, that's one of my favorite clips in a long time. I'm Shiva, the god of death.
You know what? It's so true. Like, sometimes we listen to these clips and it's like, okay, that's lame. You listen to this clip and it's like, I gotta go.
And by the way, just to keep track at home, for most people, Ralph does not see the movies. He just gives his impression based on the commercials and whatnot.
Right.
Russ actually goes and sees the movies.
Yeah.
It's a wacky idea, isn't
very,
it?
Very different, yeah.
I got to tell you, guys, this is a smart, it's well-written, it's well-directed. It's one of those subtly thrilling dramas that, like, a half an hour in, you're grabbing your chair, you don't know why. An hour in, you're trying to eat your chair. You just want to know what's going on. And I think Wilkinson and Clooney should get awards consideration because they're just great. This is a great movie.
Fantastic.
Now, I know it opened in just a couple of theaters last weekend, but it is going wide this weekend. So the movie you want to look for is Michael Clayton. All right, what's next?
Well, a movie we're not going to spend a bunch of time on, because I can't imagine a lot of people in your audience wanting to see it, is Elizabeth the Golden Age.
Hello,
I want to see it.
I'm Elizabeth. I have blue blood.
Lisa, that's such a giant surprise that you want to go see this movie. Wow. Well, you know what? Cate Blanchett, she's lovely. I love her. She's returning to this Oscar-nominated role. It's really a sequel to the first movie, but this time, her biggest challenge is from an armada attack by King Philip of Spain. Okay? But it's hard out there for a queen, because she's got Clive Owen on one side. She wants to, you know, lay some wood to Clive Owen, but she's got the armada attacking her on the other side. She doesn't know what to do. Here's the thing. I do love her. Watching her almost makes this movie worth it. But I fear that you two must be of the golden age to enjoy this movie.
Really?
Yeah. I think if you're 85 or older, or as Bean likes to affectionately say, a mo, then...
then this movie's for you?
Then this movie's for you.
I have a quick clip.
Our inaction is perceived as weakness.
If my people break the law, they shall be punished. Until that day, they shall be protected.
Majesty, we have proven reason to fear every Catholic in the
land. Fear creates fear. I am not ignorant of the dangers, sir. But I will not punish my people for their beliefs. Only for their deeds.
You need a longer clip for that one.
This won't be a surprise to anybody, but I am with Lisa on this and very much looking forward
Excellent.
To seeing the Golden
Let us know how it is.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, it's your $10. You do what you want.
You're on your own.
But here's the thing. Let me dissuade you for one second, Beam, because here's the biggest problem with this movie. You know how some movies, when the acting isn't getting it done, the dialogue's not getting it done, they sort of blast you in the face with this big, bombastic soundtrack to kind of tell you how...
Sure.
This movie is full of that, and it's going to drive you crazy.
Pretty manipulative. Now, in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, we'll be talking to actress Eva Mendez. She stars with Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Wahlberg in a film called We Own the Night, and I guess that's your last film this morning.
Yeah, this is a bloody battle between New York City cops and the Russian mafia. You have Joaquin Phoenix. He manages a nightclub in the 1980s run by the Russian mob. Now, it's a problem because his father and brother are cops who want to bring the drug trafficking Ruskies to their knees. Let's take a listen.
Nishinsky's got a contract out on us, Bert.
I know that.
What do you want to do?
You want to take over my department? What do you want to do?
I want an answer from you, Chief.
Answer for what? I have no answers now. Use your head. If we go arrest them, they'll be back on the street in a day. We got to try and catch them with their hands full, find out where they got the real weight, then we make the move.
We don't have that much time,
Chief. It doesn't matter. It's the right play.
Dude, this looks like the movie for those of us who loved The Departed. They're back.
By the way, it is the poor man's Departed. That's exactly what this movie
that
is.
That doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound bad.
Say it.
Well, here's the thing. It's a perfectly okay movie. It's not great. It's not terrible. It feels a little small screen. You know, we've talked about this where TV is so good now that you just feel like you'd have been as good off watching this on Showtime that maybe you shouldn't be paying $10 for it. But I got to tell you, it's okay. And the first 5 minutes of the movie with Eva Mendez spending some personal time on herself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that is $10 worth right there. So the movie's not great, but Eva Mendez, I'd pay 20.
All right, we need that clip when we talk to her later. Mr. Movie
great
Phone,
idea.
You're the best. Thank you.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, you guys.
Fine.
Hey, could I hear some Queen Elizabeth a little bit again, Kevin? That's my
Hello,
favorite impression.
Hello, I'm the Queen. I'm back with another movie about me and my blue blood.
I'm looking forward to going to see that.
I am That's better than you.
Certainly. Hey, Ralph is out for a couple of days. We're happy for him, filming some TV. In the meantime, we're taking a look at the show business. Here's a voice you thought was gone. Here's a voice you thought was in your past.
There are thousands of them. And the margin is in the hundreds.
Uh-huh.
What is wrong with counting the votes?
Okay, that's Al Gore, who, again, you thought you were done with after he won his Academy Award for An Inconvenient Truth, but now just announced today from Stockholm, he is the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize winner for his goddamn slideshow. Has anyone ever gotten more recognition for a goddamn slideshow than Al Gore has?
No one's done a slideshow in 30 years.
I mean, what else can they give him for the slideshow? He's got to be out. Once you've won the Oscar and the Nobel Prize, what else can you get? That's it, right?
That's it.
Don't you think they were just sitting around trying to figure out who to give the Nobel Peace Prize to? And they just said, he's well known. He talked about global warming. Let's give
It'll
him the Peace
good.
Prize. It's not a peace prize.
Well, in case you're wondering, what does this have to do with peace? The Norwegian Nobel Committee said that global warming may induce large-scale migration and lead to greater competition for the Earth's resources. Such changes will place particularly heavy burdens on the world's most vulnerable countries. And that's the tie-in to peace, and that's why Al Gore won it. And by the way, you people who are now trying to get Al Gore to add, to the Democratic nominees running for president, stop it. He doesn't want to do it, and we don't want him to, so just stop it.
Plus, he had his chance, and I don't know how you would ever not be bitter if I were him. I would be bitter for the rest of my life about that election.
I would, and I would never want to go through that again.
Never in a million years.
Ever.
Exactly. Yeah. But just to not to put too fine a point on it, stop it. Okay? That's what we're saying.
Paul McCartney, Heather Mills finally have come to an agreement. Apparently, there was a 7 to 8 hour session yesterday as they discussed exactly what she would get. According to the London Sun, it says the magic number is $71 million. That's the report I'm reading. I don't know if it's pounds or dollars. I'm reading dollars, but I have a very unreliable source. So it could be pounds.
I heard about $150 million is what you'll get for that 4 years. Geez. So it's about 70 million pounds, yeah.
$150 million. And you know out of that 4 years, she spent 2 years making him miserable, torturing him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like... Yeah. Oh, $150 million.
And by the way, you with your one leg, you're lucky he even went out with you, all right? Much less married you. So why don't you just call it even? Why don't you just hobble away and call it even, all right, Heather?
Wow. That's how much a dude hates you is $150 million.
That's sad.
Somebody emailed us earlier and said, why are divorces so expensive? Because they're worth it. And I guess this is going to be one of it. You know, I mean, Paul McCartney, though, I mean, it's crazy money, and I don't think she deserves it either. He can make $150 million this winter if he wants. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yes,
I mean,
he deserves it. She doesn't.
I agree. Yes.
She doesn't deserve that. That makes me angry. That obviously is an abuse of a law that is there to protect women under different circumstances.
Yeah.
Not under that circumstances.
I have to agree with you there.
And they do have a child together, but it seems like, yeah, child support. Give the kid the money to be raised, you know, in a nice way, but she doesn't deserve it.
$150
well,
million.
I'm very disappointed in Psycho Mike, as I am each day, but for something new this year. And that is that yesterday, October 11th, was and is every year National Coming Out Day. And Psycho Mike's strangely silent in the back of the room on this issue. Talked our freaking ears off on everything else. No word on National Coming Out Day from you, Psycho Mike. What's the deal?
Well, my sexuality is something that I hold very close to my heart. I went home, and in the privacy of my own home, I had a little ceremony of desire and passion.
Who'd you come out to? Your wife?
I did. My wife, my dogs, my boyfriend Alberto.
Okay.
And we lit candles, brought out the lube and poppers, and the rest is, you know, can be left to your imagination.
Is your wife cool with Roberto?
She
Alberto.
Is.
Alberto? Whatever
Alberto,
his name is.
Alberto is a man of great, great passion.
Okay.
And she understands how I can look in his eyes.
Is he satisfying both of you?
His dark Latino eyes and see the love of my life.
All right.
Well, congratulations on that. In case you're wondering, T.R. Knight, who is George on Grey's Anatomy, did a public service announcement this year in honor of National Coming Out Day. So somewhere Isaiah Washington is really pissed off.
Hey, Bean in the future, look at the clock before you go to Psycho Mike. Sure, we have that kind of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Britney Spears will get one overnight a week with her sons. It's what was decided yesterday in Los Angeles County Superior Court.
Uh-huh.
It apparently has to be with a court-appointed monitor, and Britney's lawyer is requesting that her mom be that monitor.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Court has not decided yet, but...
You don't think grandma is a good influence on the kids?
I think she is, but they don't get along. Better to just have some uninterested third party that just cares about the kids.
Yeah, you also get the idea that Britney, not only do they not get along, but she would discount her mother in a second if she started giving her any kind of advice
or whatever.
Absolutely,
yeah.
So they haven't ruled on that yet, but apparently they are going to allow one night of the kids being with her. And that's risky as hell already.
She spends one night with a guy, a different guy every night anyway. So what's the difference if that night it happens to be your son? Do you know what I mean? Do you know the name Simon Pegg, by the way? He was in Grindhouse. He was in Mission Impossible 3. He was Nicholas Angel, the cop in Hot Fuzz. Very talented, very funny British actor. He has been pegged, no pun intended, by J.J. Abrams to play Chief Engineer Montgomery Scott in the new Star Trek movie. He's going to be Scotty.
That's very cool.
I think that's fantastic casting. I really do. Also new to me, anyway, is that John Cho, who was Harold in the Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle movie, is going to be Sulu in the upcoming Star Trek movie, too. So the cast is now on deck, and the movie will start filming next month.
Who else besides me is excited about the new Harold and Kumar?
I love the first
one. Oh, yeah. Those are great movies.
Fantastic. All right. I'm glad to hear that.
Fantastic movies.
On TV tonight, just so you know, Friday Night Lights, that's Bean's pet show. Major League Baseball on Fox, but the weekend news I wanted to point out, Saturday Night Live is going to be hosted by Jon Bon Jovi. That's not the point, but the musical guest, Foo Fighters. So if you're a Foo Fighter fan, check out Saturday Night Live this weekend.
And finally, here's a kitchen cat fight that I didn't realize that these TV chefs ever got into it with one another, but apparently the Kitchen Confidential, who is named Anthony Bourdain, is calling out fellow celebrity chef and Omar's favorite, Rachel Ray, in a magazine called Outside Magazine. Now, I don't know why in Outside Magazine you find interviews with TV chefs. I don't get the tie-in there.
But apparently Bourdain is upset that Rachel is endorsing Dunkin' Donuts. She does commercials for those. He says it's like endorsing crack for kids. The decision is over the line because of the rate of juvenile diabetes skyrocketing and, of course, the ongoing obesity problem with kids in the United States. So Rachel's rep shoots back that says, yeah, she loves the donuts, but she's promoting balance and moderation, apparently except in her own case, because it looks to us like she's eating the Dunkin' Donuts even more than she's promoting the Dunkin' Donuts.
Look, Rachel Ray is not a hero to children, role model to children.
Not in any way. No. As a matter of fact, kids.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
As a matter of fact, that's what they have to say about Rachel Ray. All right, Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne in our studio in the next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Today's celebrity birthdays: former child actor Kirk Cameron is 37 years old today. Former child actor Adam Rich is 39. And Hugh Jackman, there's a guy who one day must win an Oscar. He's a tremendous actor and an all-around nice guy, we're told. He's 39, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
I'm so tired of Lisa May talking her ear off about baseball all the time, aren't you guys?
Well, they changed the pitching lineup, and so that's a little unnerving. Schilling isn't pitching until the second game. And then Dice K the third game.
I don't know exactly how it's going to go. Because it's the Red Sox, she's like, oh, they're wicked cool. Yeah, wicked cool. Lisa, who are the Red Sox playing in the playoffs tonight?
They're playing the Indians.
Damn it.
I'm stunned that
you knew
that.
Can I tell you one thing really fast?
Not if it's about baseball.
When I watched the very first game.
So sick of these people who get a baseball team and that's all they want to talk about day in and day out. They never shut up about their freaking baseball team as if anyone cares.
Guys will know the answer to this. What is with the spitting? They had the camera on the coach,
yeah,
who wasn't chewing anything, isn't playing in the game.
Right.
He spit three times within 30 seconds.
They spit a lot. That's what baseball players do.
Part of
it. You have to.
What's wrong with
you? No, there's nothing wrong. You have to spit.
Girls don't spit.
Two things.
Well,
it's cultural.
The girls I know do.
Yeah, hey! It's cultural. It's part of baseball. It's just like grabbing the crotch. It's just, I literally.
But I get it.
But
if
are
you're
you sure?
Out doing
are you sure he wasn't chewing sunflower seeds?
I'm pretty sure.
No,
he was
not,
like working up spit and then drooling it on.
Because about 140% of everybody involved in baseball is chewing sunflower seeds at all times.
Those can be pretty small.
Oh, you didn't have to turn it off because of spit. For God's sakes, woman.
Once you start focusing on that, you can't stop.
How can you spend every day with us in here and then have to turn off a baseball game because someone's spitting?
You don't spit.
I could.
He swallowed.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day on any topic, including those of you that are stuck in traffic and think you might have to end your own life.
Here in my car, I'm going to kill myself. I hate traffic.
Yeah, it's not good.
It does suck, yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm calling with a complaint. I really don't understand why you guys call Alex super whore. Last time I heard, whores did it for money. She does it for free, so she's just a slut. Woo! Let's hear it for slut.
We may have to revisit that title. That's an excellent point.
Happy 18th birthday to Michelle Wee, youngandasian.com. Yummy. Paracure.
Yeah, I was apparently the only one excited about professional golfer Michelle Wee turning 18 this week. I thought it was a pretty big deal.
No, she's hot for golf.
Yeah.
Dude, I think she's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but
you just have a blank check for Asian women.
And that's why he does so much with younghotandasian.com, because
Asian 18-year-old millionaire too. That's why
she does have it all.
Sugar mama?
Yeah.
We talked to Shaolin Radio a little bit earlier on this morning about her radio show, Sexy Time.
Kevin Bean listeners love Shaolin Robot. She disproves the theory that all Asians are smart.
All right, look, not everything we come up with on the air is brilliant, let alone even good.
Kevin Ryder with the Too Legit to Quit reference in 2007. Oh, no, you didn't!
It is a little bit of a word.
But the story was about... Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
We were talking about how there's too much bandwidth. There's too much internet. When some of the stuff, like the mice surfing, you go, well, really?
It's very popular.
Was that Bean that said that there's too much bandwidth? Can I just remind you of Bean's blog? Didn't we know there was too much bandwidth a long time ago?
That's a good point. And by the way, he's thinking about doing that again.
That blog was essential reading, though, compared to the mice surfing. Come on. That's just... Everybody has a different line, and my line is just above mice surfing. If you've got time to put that up on the internet, you've got too much time.
My line is above your line, though.
I understand.
One of our interns is named Beer Mug because he has a tattoo of a beer mug on the top of one of his feet.
It's commitment right there.
Why do you call your intern Beer Mug? He's Jewish. It should be Beer Stein. Get it? Jewish? Stein? Anna?
Wow.
Anna?
Yeah. This is not a surprise.
Hey, guys. Quick question. I don't normally wake up till 9, so I'm wondering, does your show always blow between 7 and 7.30 a.m.? Because, man, this is... Oh, God.
I don't know what day that was in reference to, but it could be any.
Yeah.
Really.
The answer to that's yes.
Yeah. If you get a nugget of comedy out of our show on a daily basis, that's good. That we consider that good. You only listen to a half hour, you're probably not going to hear much. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Chocolate rain. Take some laxatives and make it rain. Chocolate rain. Oh. I do it to my girlfriend every day. Chocolate rain. Remix.
Play that one for you, Bean. I know you like it.
Kevin and Bean, what is up with your boy, Jed the Fish? Talking about putting toe jam in his food so he won't eat it. Nice.
Jed, you weren't talking about putting toe jam in your food.
106.7 K-Rock. It's Karaoke. A lot of people have turned to Hoodia or Ally as means of hunger.
Toe jam.
Hunger. Stimulants depriving themselves of food, but I like toe jam. Karaoke.
Wonder what Ozzy's doing right now.
I can tell you.
Hey, Sharon.
Yes, Sharon.
Yes,
what
my
is
darling.
Ozzy doing?
How are you? What's he doing?
I think he's probably sleeping and talking in his sleep. And
Sharon Osbourne is here, and our producer Lightning went outside, and he said, "Where's Ozzy?" And she said, "He's I couldn't wake him."
That
listen,
would worry
I don't want to. I don't want to be the guy to say this, but did you hold a mirror up in front of his lips to make sure there's breath?
I wish I could have got that close to him, but he was downstairs in the studio, and the red light's on recording. Doors are closed, and I know what he's recording. He's snoring
on
the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's curled up at a ball with his banky.
You know that.
Is that light on sometimes for days?
This is a new studio, a new house. So, no, this is the longest it's been on. He went in there about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I know he's asleep. He's not working.
I just remember the last time you guys came in, and we had so much fun with you a couple months ago when you guys were in. I just know that Ozzy couldn't get over the fact that it was 8 o'clock in the a.m. It was just like, it was so obvious how little he ever wanted to be up at that hour. And you seem like, because of your energy, you seem like the type of person who hits the ground running. You're out of bed and you're off and doing your stuff.
I do. I think it's, you know, part of being a mom, getting up in the morning and,
you know. Do you drive him crazy, or have you learned to channel your energy away from him in the morning?
Oh, please.
Yeah.
You know, he's two stories down in the studio. I'm two stories up on the phone, you know, drinking coffee, doing my
doing
stuff.
Your thing, yeah.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned you guys have a new house.
Yes.
And that's part – we have many, many things to cover with you, including obviously the fantastic announcement about the tour with Rob. And we'll get to that in a minute. But you guys moved, and now you're getting rid of stuff. And you have houses all over the world, and they're all just chock full of stuff, and you just decided it's just too much, right?
Too much. Overloaded. You know, you become pack rats. You save stuff.
Right.
And, you know – it's like you stay away from one house. You go back after 6 months. You open the door and you go, this is full of crap. Yeah. Where did I get this from? You know, you open.
Well, you know how to sell an auction.
Oh, jeez.
This is full of crap. Now, tell us, you're going to have an auction. It's going to be at the Gibson Guitar Showroom, right,
yes,
in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
On November 30th and on December 1st, a Friday and a Saturday.
Yes.
And you're going to be auctioning all kinds of stuff from all your houses, right?
From all our houses, yes. And it's everything from, like, English antiques to, you know, American memorabilia and all different stuff.
Artwork.
So it's like artwork, yeah, chairs, beds, everything.
My God, just going through all the houses and getting all the stuff had to be such a job.
It took about 6 months.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, was there anything, was there stuff that you wanted to sell that Ozzy held up his pudgy little hand and said, no, don't, I'm too attached to it?
I cannot believe you've said that, because everything, him and Jack, you know, I don't want that to go. I want that. I'm sure. Like, well, where are we going to put it? What do you want to do with it? Well, we'll save it.
It's, yeah, that's no, your job. That's not, going. I don't care, right?
Yeah, it's like.
Just figure out a place.
Everything, and to try and keep, like, you know, five people's stuff here happy,
right.
And everybody wants something different to keep it. Nightmare.
Now, how many items do you have that are going to be sold that you didn't exactly run by Ozzy or Jack? that it's just better if they don't know.
She walked them out when they weren't looking.
Right. Yeah, probably all of it.
Probably all of it, okay.
Everything.
And are you selling 10 to 12 dogs as well?
Never.
Never, okay.
Never.
Just checking.
What are some of the items that you think people will be most excited to own? Are there iconic Osbourne items up for auction this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ozzy's pool table, it was made for him. And,
oh, that's cool.
You know, yeah, his pool table is going. And there's a great car that I bought from Danielle Steele.
Oh, no
an kidding. An old classic car. And I bought it from an auction she was doing.
Ah.
And then I'm now selling on that car, so I think that's a great one, too. Mm-hmm.
Any crucifixes? Because I remember a lot of those in the old house on the MTV show.
Oh, my goodness me. There are loads of crucifixes. Yes.
And some of the stuff that is uniquely Ozzy, right? I mean, that's why people would go to buy this stuff.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sunglasses mean, and all kinds of...
His glasses and some of his, you know, stage stuff and... You know, he's Ozzy tends that he doesn't really keep up with fashion.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So, you know, he'll go into his cupboard. Don't behave, Kevin.
No, I'm just saying.
He'll go into his cupboard and there'll be a jacket with, you know, great big shoulder pads out here.
Oh, nice.
And it'll be bright red and he'll go, this is good, right? I'm like, no. No. You're not coming out me wearing that. What's the matter with it?
I do remember from the show that he would get dressed to go places. Then you'd have to send him back like he was 11 to yeah, put on a new outfit.
Exactly. And yeah. I think he's colorblind, too, because that's why just everything's black that works. But when you throw color in the mix, disaster.
Then it's bad, yeah.
Well, this doesn't happen very often where you see celebrities who are opening up their homes and letting people buy their stuff. I mean, this is an unusual way to do it. And I guess part of the reason you're doing it is because you're raising money for your colon cancer charity, right?
Yeah, I am. It's a huge amount of it will go to my charity, which, you know, needs money all the time. So that's it.
That's great.
Who are you supporting with the money? Is it research?
No, we don't do research.
You don't do research?
No, we don't. We do, it's like a support team.
Oh, I see.
So when somebody goes in for chemo and, you know, they can't, you know, that you can't drive when you're having chemo and they've got nobody to take them home.
Right.
We take them home. Mm. We go take them home. We cook for them. We babysit. Go out, do their shopping.
That is really important stuff.
It is, you know, and it's a support team which everybody needs. I was lucky enough to have, and a lot of people don't have it.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let me recap the auction information. Sharon Osbourne is in the studio with us here at K-Rock. More than 600 lots of memorabilia from the Osbournes, jewelry, costumes, painting, furniture, art from all the houses. It's at the Gibson Guitar Showroom in Beverly Hills on the 30th of November, starting at 10 o'clock, and then the next day, Saturday, December the 1st. Here's the website if you want to check out more from the auction house, julianauctions.com. That's Julian, J-U-L-I-E-N. JuliansAuctions.com or call 310-816-1818. That's some cool stuff. All right, we need to take a break, Sharon. When we come back, we want to talk about your friend Rob Zombie, and we want to talk about the show that's coming up at Staples Center. How about that?
Fantastic.
We'll do that when we get back. Ozzy Osbourne on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Sharon Osbourne is in the studio with us. Ozzy was supposed to be here as well, but apparently he was unwakeable.
you should call him up, Kevin.
I would love to. Write down the get a piece
up.
Of name.
All right.
Get a piece of paper. Let's write down the number.
Yeah, like he's going to answer, but we'll try.
We'll try.
Sharon, this Ozzy album, the one that came out a few months ago, Black Rain, one of the biggest albums of Ozzy's career, which is remarkable. Wasn't that song that we just heard number one on the modern rock charts for something like 20 weeks? Isn't it like one of the biggest hits he's ever had?
Yes, that's right.
That's amazing.
It is, yeah. It just amazes me, too.
And
I mean, I know you guys worked real hard on the record and stuff, but when you put out a record these days, you gotta have pretty low expectations of what it's going to do. It's so hard anymore, but you know, as big as ever. I mean, it just must be so satisfying for you guys.
Do you know what? I always go with the mind of being pessimistic. Right. I always think, you know, don't build your hopes too high, then you're never disappointed. And with this record, I'm like, hey, you know what? You loved making it. You got paid for it. Labor of love. Right. That's it, you know. But then when it was successful, it's an added bonus. Oh, yeah.
Now, speaking of being successful, I wanted to ask you about the Radiohead CD, how they were offering it online for free, pay what you think it's worth.
Yeah.
And you guys, of course, did Ozfest free.
Yeah.
Is that the direction it's going to go with CDs? Are they all going to be that way, do you think, or no?
I think for a while I do. I really do. You know, it's, you know, you see it. This industry isn't the same anymore.
At
unless,
all.
Unless you are associated with a talent show on TV, mm-hmm. unless your song is advertising something, right. basically, you know, you're in trouble.
That's true. And not everybody's Radiohead, so they could try to offer it for free and pay what you want, and no one will really, you know,
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Now, in retrospect, now that you have the Ozfest behind you for the year, was it a gamble that worked for you?
Do you know I don't know?
I don't believe that. You know everything.
No, I don't. I don't. I honestly don't
really?
Know. I think we proved a point because people thought that we couldn't do it, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
Would I want to go through all of that again? I don't think so, no.
Is it difficult with the other bands? And what's the hardest part?
Of course it is because, you know, people are giving their time for, you know, nothing, just their expenses. We were paying, you know, petrol and hotel. That was it.
Right.
But it's a very, very hard thing to do. And just, you know, everybody's out, you know, stabbing each other in the back and this, that, and the other. And it's like, all right, I don't think I can take it anymore.
Not again.
No. Uh-uh.
Will there be another Ozfest next summer, do you think, Sharon?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Definitely. All right. Yeah. Until then, check this out. How's this for a double bill at Staples Center on November 30th? And yeah, by the way, that's the same day as the auction we were telling you about. It's Ozzy Osbourne and Rob Zombie together. And tickets are going on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at all Ticketmaster outlets. Tickets from $49 to $99. What do you want to tell me about that show, Sharon?
Do you know what? You've got two icons together. And it's one hell of a show. They toured together 6 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was just amazing. They complement each other. And I've seen, you know, Rob's, some of his show, what he's putting together, and it's pretty spectacular.
He's got a vision, doesn't he? We love Rob Zombie.
He does. He's an incredible artist. And, you know, what could be better, Rob and Ozzy, for the price of, you know, a ticket?
November 30th, Staples Center again. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Would you mind taking a phone call from a listener?
Sure.
Okay. Lorenzo in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good.
Good morning.
Sharon.
Hello.
Sharon, it's an honor to talk to you, ma'am. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you,
Ozzy
Lorenzo.
Ozzy is the best out of all of us because he's still asleep. I mean, he wins.
He does win.
He wins.
What's your question for Sharon, Lorenzo?
Yeah, good morning to Ozzy, whatever he is. I am a huge, I love Ozzy. He's amazing. Is he ever going to put out some sort of, I don't like to call it a box set, but like, is he going to put out a box set or something like a complete works or something like that? Ever?
All of his stuff at once?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I mean,
but you
who
know
knows?
Everything.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You're the only person on this planet that knows everything.
Behave.
All right.
I honestly don't know.
Has there been talk about it?
No.
No, okay.
No, there really hasn't. Right. But, you know, who knows?
Is there, for a guy who's been around as long as Ozzy has, is there a lot of stuff in the vault that has never been released that his fans would find interesting?
Yeah, there is. There is. He did a whole album that never got released.
Really?
Yeah, a whole album.
Wow. What? Why?
Was
this wrong thing, wrong time or
wrong
something?
Wrong timing. We didn't think that it really, you know, was Ozzy enough. It wasn't him. He was going in a different direction. So who knows? You know, it may come out one day.
Very cool.
Okay. Lorenzo, thank you very much for the call. Sharon, who are you feuding with this week? Who's tops on your hit list this week? Because it seems like usually when we see you in the news, it's because you're having some sort of a row with somebody.
Somebody. I don't know. Who? Throw me a name.
Well, I just wondered if there was – has there been anyone to replace Courtney Love at the top of the hit list since that story broke?
No, there hasn't.
She's still holding strong?
Oh, yeah. She's still holding strong at number one.
Number one with a bullet?
Yeah.
In a perfect world. All right. Let's call Ozzy. You want to?
Yeah. Come on.
Let's try it.
If he's awake, will he answer the phone?
Yeah, okay. He will. Yeah.
Because I don't.
Because I was wondering if he ever answered the phone.
Yeah, I never.
No, he does. He does. He does, yeah. But the thing is, when they ask for people, he doesn't know who they're asking
for.
Oh,
my God.
You mean Ozzy? Hello?
It's Kevin and Bean. And Sharon.
Did he hang up?
Sharon, what do you think happened there?
Was that him?
No.
Did you recognize his voice? Hello?
I was just going to pick up in about 1 minute.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
Tony?
Sharon.
Hello.
He's picking up in 1 minute.
What are you doing?
Waking I'm trying to get him out of bed.
Waking him up?
You're trying to get him out of bed.
Aren't we all?
Okay, he's out. He's got his slippers on. He's ready.
Fantastic. As long as he has slippers on.
This is awesome.
How long is it usually after he's ready before he answers the phone?
Well, what is he doing, Tony? Oh, now Tony's gone.
Oh,
what
maybe they
the
hung up.
Hell
maybe
are they
up?
Doing?
Oh, this can't surprise you, Sharon.
No,
this
it doesn't.
Has to be your
it
life.
Doesn't. It is my
your
life.
Entire life trying to get a hold of your man.
I'm trying to act like I'm shocked.
Right.
What a waste of time that is.
Now, Ozzy knows which end of the phone to talk it to, right? I mean, he's got that, right?
Yeah, we'd hear it. We'd hear it.
Okay.
I think they hung up somehow.
No.
No, their dial tone would have come by now if they hung up.
Yeah,
would have done.
Ozzy? Tony? What's your guy's name?
Tony, talk about into the abyss here. Where is it?
Yeah. All right, we got about another 20 seconds, and then we're going to have to run. And we got him out of bed.
Ow,
now he's going to hate us.
God, Jesus.
But it was Sharon. She made us call. We didn't want to call. Sharon made us.
By the way, if Ozzy is pissed that we woke him up, tell him to come down to K-Rock with a baseball bat and take out our producer Lightning.
Okay. Bye,
aww.
Oz.
Good talking to you, buddy.
Oh, I feel bad now. We got him out of bed for nothing.
No,
Ozzy, Friday, November 30th at Staples Center with Rob Zombie in support, as Sharon says. When do you get a chance to see two icons for that price on one bill? It sounds like a heck of a show. That goes on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at all Ticketmaster outlets. By the way, let me tell you something about Ozzy Osbourne, too. In case there are people who have never seen him, he puts on a great show, and you may think, that guy can't still bring it. The dude still brings it.
Yeah,
that's what's unbelievable. I remember, Sharon, you'll remember this, too, when Ozzy was on our Weenie Roast once a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And you see Ozzy backstage, and he's, you know, the Ozzy we know and love from TV, and he's shuffling around, and he looks like he's not quite dialed into what's happening. And then magically, he steps out on the stage, and all of a sudden, he's the freaking dude from Black Sabbath. And you're like, that's the same guy. That's unbelievable what he's able to do on stage.
Yeah. He's. Do you know, I think that he this is an act he puts on for all of us.
The whole out of it thing? Really?
Yeah. Well,
just
some
so
of it.
You kind of have
you don't bug him. Right?
Yeah. To leave him alone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It worked this morning.
Pretty smart.
It did.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did. He like, I think he's been winding me up for the last 30 years, you know, pretending to be someone
sure.
he's not. He's
that way
real
you'll just
shrewd.
Take care of everything for him, and he doesn't have to worry about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. He can
guy.
Sleep all day.
Well,
it.
Buy the tickets at Ticketmaster tomorrow and visit juliansauctions.com or call 310-816-1818 for details on the auction that's coming up on the same day, November 30th, at the Gibson Guitar Showroom if you want to buy your Ozzy memorabilia from their various homes around the world. Sharon, you're such a delight. It's so awesome when you stop by K-Rock. We always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you so much.
I guess we should do the showbiz. I really just want to sit and wait for Eva Mendez to get on the phone, but I guess we might as well fill some time before we talk to her, right?
Yeah, she's coming up just after the top of the hour and
okay.
hot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So hot.
Okay.
Number 7 on the Maxim Sexiest Women list of 2007, by the way. And I think she got ripped off, if you want my opinion.
No, no.
Here's some late breaking news just in, new to us on TMZ.com. Actor Orlando Bloom involved in a car accident last night.
Oh, no.
Apparently leaving a place in Hollywood called the Green Door. He was driving a Toyota Matrix that belonged to the director of photography, I want to say, for the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. A crash took place around 2:15 this morning near Fountain and Vista in Los Angeles. He had two passengers in the car, both women, hard to believe. One suffered a fractured neck. The other was cut by her seatbelt. He was fine, apparently nothing too serious in the injuries, and no drugs or alcohol was involved. According to the police report, by the way, he was driving down the road in this Matrix, was cut off by another driver, and then he crashed into a parked Porsche Cayenne. What are the chances, by the way, you hit a car on the side of the street and it's a Porsche?
Yeah, that's not good.
That's bad news, but Orlando Bloom appears to be fine and appears to be not at fault and no drugs and alcohol involved. And that's rare when there's a Hollywood celebrity involved in some sort of a crash that it really wasn't them.
He's a bad celebrity.
Because he wasn't drunk?
Yes.
Snoop Dogg is doing community service by raking leaves and taking out trash, apparently. He was punished for carrying an illegal weapon into John Wayne Airport in Orange County. He had a baton. He said it was a prop for a video. He was charged with a felony, and that charge is going to be reduced to a misdemeanor if he stays out of trouble for a year. His sentence includes 160 hours of community service at a park in Orange County.
See how they come at black people?
So you'll be out there with your family or whatever, and a guy will come by picking up trash, and it'll be Snoop.
And smoking.
Yes, he will be.
Is he, I wonder, I couldn't keep track of all those offenses that he had one right after another last year, but is he out of the woods now? I mean, does he have any other charges that he needs to face, or is this the end of it, or is he in good shape now?
See, you know, I've always thought he's Snoop. You just let him go.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants to do.
Can't do that for everyone, and you can't do that for every celebrity, but I think we could all agree on Snoop.
Sure.
For God's sakes.
There's a new TV show on called Dr. Steve-O. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but it's bizarre, as everything that Steve-O is involved with, from Jackass on out. He's a friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be having him on the show, I think, next week. And if you're a big Steve-O fan like we are, this is a pretty cool idea. PartyWithAStar.com is holding a contest, and they are giving a night with Steve-O away. If you're the lucky winner, you get a two-day hotel stay, a $1,000 Visa gift card, round-trip airfare. It doesn't say to where, by the way. I just assumed that he'd be doing his party in here, but I don't know that.
That's a good question.
And a VIP dinner, too. So if you're a big Steve-O fan, go to partywithastar.com.
Psycho. And don't try to keep up with Steve-O. You're going to have to try and fight him for it, unfortunately. Yeah, don't try to keep up with Steve-O is good advice, because he's been practicing. Britney Spears' record company apparently is filing copyright infringement suit against PerezHilton.com.
I'm happy with anyone who sues Perez Hilton. I support
for the hair or just for in general,
for existing.
He apparently has had a bunch of leaks of Britney's record, and I don't know if it's real leaks or partial songs or whatever. But they're talking about moving the CD up to October 30th, blackout, because this part of the problem is that it's leaking on the internet a bunch. So they're suing.
You know, it's really interesting because a lot of people were saying that with the shambles that her personal life is in, that there's no way to expect any kind of a comeback with this record because she's just not up for it. She's not prepared for it to do the promotion and the publicity and the touring and everything else. Yet Gimme More has certainly, you know, that's the biggest single she's had in a long, long time. It's number one on iTunes as a download this week. It doesn't seem to have hurt her, everything else, the train wreck that is her life. So maybe the album will work for her.
We've heard some of those leaks from Perez Hilton. I hope they're not finished or they're just ideas or whatever, because they don't. Gimme More is brilliant compared to some of the stuff we heard.
True.
But hopefully for Gimme More, that's not part of it.
Gimme More, definitely the best thing that we've heard so far from that album. That's for sure. This is interesting, by the way. I don't think I've seen a celebrity do this or not, but Tom Cruise and his wife Katie Holmes own a mansion in Beverly Hills, and it's a pretty sweet spread. It's hidden from the street. It's got 3 acres, guest house, pool with a spa, lighted tennis court. If you're a Tom Cruise fan, maybe it's the type of place you might like to rent this winter. He's not going to be using it. He's putting it up for rent. If you want to be in his 9-bedroom Beverly Hills palace, it'll only cost you $100,000 a month.
A month?
It is weird that a star like Tom Cruise wouldn't want to keep that house empty, because he might have to come to Los Angeles from time to time.
Sure.
He might want a place just to crash when he comes into town.
And what if Xenu comes to town?
That's
and needs a
good point.
A place to stay. For God's sakes, it's got to be
open. That's a fantastic point. But I've never heard of a celebrity offering up his home like this to the public for rent. But as Lisa pointed out earlier, if you're charging $100,000 a month, you're probably going to keep most of the crazies and the stalkers away. They're likely not to be able to afford to stay there anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry. You can go to theradreport.com for more information. Theradreport.com is the site. Is this good news or bad news? MC Hammer apparently not dead.
Oh, Bean.
There were some reports this week, and I guess he's one of those celebrities that from time to time you hear he's passed away. It never turns out to be true, and this time it's not true either. What happened was there was another guy whose obituary hit the internet whose name is Stanley Burrell, and that's MC Hammer's real name. So people saw Stanley Burrell, and then one thing led to another, and oh my God, that's MC Hammer, but no, he's fine. Maybe he's not fine. His latest venture is he has a new internet project called Dance Jam, where you send in your dancing, and then he rates it or awards prizes based on who's the best dancer in the video.
Is anyone MC Hammer dancing anymore? I mean, that type of dancing is...
I don't think you have to dance like him. I think you do whatever dance you want, and he's just judging it. I don't think it's to look for... The new Hammer Time, no.
And there are prizes and stuff?
That's what it looks like, yeah. Huh. Dance Jam is what it's called. Dance He may wish he were dead.
How are they following up the Rad Report with Dance Jam?
I don't know.
People just giving up on coming up with names?
Just stop trying.
This is a pretty shaky showbiz report. And if you weren't with us earlier for Mr. Movie Phone filling in for Ralph Garman on the Movie Beat, just a quick hit on some of the movies available to you this weekend. Elizabeth the Golden Age, it's called, which is a follow-up to the role that won Cate Blanchett the Oscar playing Queen Elizabeth I. That's in wide release this weekend. We talked to actor Sean Astin earlier about his baseball movie called The Final Season out today. George Clooney's Michael Clayton, which is just universally getting fantastic reviews across the board. That one goes a little wider this weekend if you want to see Michael Clayton. We Own the Night with Joaquin Phoenix, Mark Wahlberg, Robert Duvall, and Ava Mendez. We'll be talking to Ava in a moment here. That opens up today. And this guy, Tyler Perry, this Tyler Perry movie series.
There's another one of those?
Unbelievable how phenomenally successful these things are.
Oh, those blacks.
No white person will go, but this is a big deal for some people. Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married is the name of the movie, and that one also opens up this weekend. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Jackman turns 39 years old today. Look at where his career is at the same age as former 8 Is Enough star Adam Rich, also 39 today.
Oh, sure.
Kirk Cameron is 37. Olympic skier and pothead Bodie Miller turns 30, as does young Jeezy the rapper. That's the K-Rock Showbiz.
A little bit earlier on this morning, we had Mr. Movie Phone on, and he was talking about this movie that Ava Mendez is in, We Own the Night.
And the first 5 minutes of the movie with Ava Mendez spending some personal time on herself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that is $10 worth right there.
Okay, so that's what we had earlier on this morning.
Way to sell a movie, by the way. Way to guarantee that every single person listening is going to go see this movie. And why wouldn't you? Joaquin Phoenix is in it, Mark Wahlberg, and, of course, the great Robert Duvall, and our next guest, Ava Mendez, on the line with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ava.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm really good. I love you guys. I'm excited to be on the show.
Oh, that's nice.
You're very, very sweet. And by the way, this cast, I mean, I know you get offered a lot of roles, but you can't say no when you get Wahlberg, Phoenix, and Duvall, right?
It's pretty stupid. Ridiculous cast. I actually said no to it for a year, but, the role kind of wasn't quite there and stuff like that, and then it began with a really racy sex scene.
Right.
So I thought about it for a while until they got their financing together, but when they came back with the great cast, I could not do it.
Don't turn your back on a sex scene, young woman. What's wrong with you?
It's pretty intense. It's pretty intense. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now I understand it's got to be very, very difficult. We can't even imagine what it's like to have to do something like that on camera. But you also have some super emotional fighting scenes in this movie, too, which probably are just as hard or even harder, right?
Well, actually, yeah, because I think when I'm shooting, that was actually my first sex scene. When I was shooting it does become very technical because you have to think about lighting and how you're kissing and where you're, putting your things.
Well said.
Wow, where are you putting your things? Yeah.
And then, so it's very technical. And the actual, freak out comes when you actually see the film, in a movie theater and you're like, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, oh my God. Because, of course, through the beauty of editing and things like that, they make it look like all, flawless and it's
technical for you. It's not technical for Joaquin Phoenix. I just want to say that.
No, it's technical for all of us. But then those fighting scenes, you go home and you just have to go to such a dark place. And I go home and I just want to I need to get healthier about that. I take my work home with me is what I'm saying.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to leave something like that on the set when you've got to have all those emotions, exactly. I guess, in order to get geared up. I understand what you're talking about. Now, we were saying earlier that this looks like the movie we've been waiting for since we saw The Departed. This looks like it's kind of one of those kind of movies. Would you say that's a fair comparison?
You know what? I'm going to say it's fair, although this blows The Departed away, even though I like The Departed. This is actually, I'm not even joking, and I don't care if I sound cocky about it, but I just think James Gray did such an amazing job with this movie, and I think it's got so much, it's got so much to it. It's a really sexy film. It looks beautiful, and it's got one of the best car chases that I've seen in a long time.
Right, whatever. But in the first 5 minutes.
I think she covered that, Kevin. Oh, okay. I think we talked about that.
All right.
So The Departed, which won the Academy Award for Best Picture, you say We Own the Night blows this one out of the water.
Absolutely.
That's a hell of a quote.
Yeah.
I like that.
Uh-huh.
No kidding. So you've been acting, for 10 years or something like that so far,
Ava? Yeah, it's been nine, probably going on 10 soon, exactly.
When you got into it back in the early days, were you going day to day at that point, or is this something you expected was going to be a lifelong career?
I was auditioning a lot the first couple of years, and I was doing really bad, you know, just, you know, cheesy horror movies and things that, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then I thought, you know, this is terrible. I'm not very good. I suck. And but I study all the time. I still study till this day. But I kind of hit a low point. And then I got a role in Training Day. And although it was a very small role, it was only two scenes, working with Denzel really kind of reignited my love for acting and really just made, I was like, this is why I'm doing this, you know, for this connection and this, you know, this something just happened to me. And I think Denzel's a big part of that.
That was a great movie, too.
Yeah, it was a great movie and you know, great experience for me. And then, and so it really went from there. That's when I was like, okay, I want to do this and I'm going to be really serious about it.
Interesting. Now, your co-star Joaquin Phoenix, who really doesn't like to be interviewed.
No.
Lately, I have seen him say a few things about acting. He doesn't seem to understand why people think acting is hard. But it looks to me anyway, like it's incredibly difficult to be up there and be realistic and not appear stilted. But he says he just shows up and he doesn't even think about it. What's that all about?
That is him trying to be funny. I got to tell you that this guy is the hardest worker I've ever seen. He is so, between him and the director and I, we would have 10, 12-hour rehearsal sessions.
Really? When he says it's easy, he's being funny.
Yeah, he's being funny.
Oh,
because
I see.
I'm telling you that this dude is such, the work ethic that this guy has is unbelievable. And he's just, you know, he's obviously super talented, but yeah, he works his butt off, yeah.
Now, Ava Mendez is on the line, by the way. We're talking about We Own the Night, which opens up everywhere today. It looks like
which
a tremendous
blows
movie.
Blows away the Departed.
Blows away,
blows away the Departed is what I read on the poster, yeah.
Right.
Now, Kevin and I have had a lot of problem in our radio career, Ava. Because we're so good-looking, people sometimes don't think we can be talented. You know, they kind of take us for granted as just a piece of me.
Of you guys at the beginning, I'm like, these guys are never going to work. They're too beautiful.
And yeah, that's the point. That's what I was just wondering if that has been your experience at all, maybe to a lesser degree.
You know, I got to say something. I hear a lot of actresses say this, the beautiful actresses saying that they can't be taken seriously because they're so beautiful. And
right.
I think it's a ridiculous statement to make in this industry. It's, you know, who has it really hard are people with, you know, minorities and people who have, you know, I don't know, some sort of handicap, whether it be physical or mental.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's like, to be beautiful is the easiest thing to be in this business. And then it's up to you. You take it from there. You can always play yourself down a little bit and stuff like that, and there's always going to be a struggle. But if I hear another actress say that it's tough to be beautiful and they don't get taken seriously, they need to stop saying that. They sound silly. You know,
tell me,
it's true. It's hard to be, you know.
It's hard for everybody. I mean, let's be honest, but it certainly doesn't hurt to be beautiful.
Exactly.
I think it's a foot in the door quite often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you how you carry yourself and what, you know, magazine covers you do,
right.
What press you do, and when to do the sexy stuff, and then you pull it back, and then you go a little bit, you know.
So the first 10 minutes of We Own the Night.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that some more.
I think asked and answered, Kevin. I think we covered that.
All right, just check it.
Hey, Ava, let me ask you one more thing. You speak the Spanish, right?
I speak the Spanish.
Do you ever do any Spanish language stuff?
You know, I do some stuff. I would love to do a Spanish language film, but I haven't really found anything. But I do some stuff for Revlon in Spanish, and I did a bunch of press and stuff in Spanish.
Because as hot as you are in English, I believe you're even hotter in Spanish. I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything if you've got something out there. That's all.
Weren't you on the Will Smith song?
Yes.
Miami?
I was in the video. That wasn't really my voice. I just lip-synced it.
Oh, okay.
How do you say the past tense for lip-sync?
Lip-sunk.
Lip-synced, I think. I think it's lip-synced.
Right? Lip-sunk it.
Yeah, I don't know, really.
It's I lip-sync it.
Well, we've wanted to have you on the show for a way long time, and to hear that you sometimes listen to us, we really appreciate that, Ava, because
absolutely.
We'd like to think that it's a mutual love affair going on between you and us.
It's totally mutual, this little threesome we're having.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wait, now it ruined everything because there's beans involved in my hole. All right.
Ouch.
Ava Mendez, We Own the Night is the name of the movie. It comes out today. Thank you for being on our show.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Bye now. Your phone calls are coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, the Friday morning edition, which is no different than any other day. I'm not sure why I say that. Call, you can get on the air, and we'll give you a prize.
Lisa, how do you think we did with Eva Mendez? Considering how we were feeling in our pants, I think we handled ourselves pretty... I don't mean handled ourselves. I think we controlled ourselves pretty well.
I think there was a minimum amount of slobber, and I'm pretty proud of you.
Wow.
Thank you very much. That's good news.
Yeah.
You've dropped all of your standards. I'm glad.
I work here.
I need to see that movie by 11 a.m. That's all I have to say now that I've heard about it. All right. Let's turn our attention to Lieutenant Sulu in the news. All sorts of stuff about Lieutenant Sulu lately on Heroes, of course, and the asteroid that Ralph told us about that was named after. We thought we got to find out more of what's going on with this dude. So we asked producer Lightning to line him up for us on the phone right now from the Star Trek TV series, ladies and gentlemen, the great Lieutenant Sulu. Good morning, Lieutenant.
Thank you, Kevin and Bede, and greetings from the bridge of the USS Excelsior, currently in orbit around the planet Earth.
Oh,
you may recall I used to be the helmsman on the Enterprise.
Right.
But the Federation promoted me to captain, gave me my own ship, and gave me my own 5-year mission.
No kidding. What's that? What's your mission?
Well, my mission now is to call in radio morning shows and do wacky phone bits.
That sounds like a little bit of a step down from commanding a starship.
Well, you know, you got to work where the work is.
Now, what was this deal where it looks like the real people who name stars and asteroids and stuff like that, they actually named an asteroid after you? What's that deal?
Well, you know, it is such an honor to have an asteroid named after me. And, you know, it's something the astronomical community cherishes. It's second only to having a planet named after you.
Right.
Or a comet, or a moon, or a crater on the moon, or... screw it. An asteroid is lame.
It is lame, yeah. That's true.
Why don't you just name a freaking piece of dog poop after me? Gee, thanks a lot. I'm such a great actor. You name a wobbly chunk of ugly rock after me. And with my luck, this will be the asteroid that's going to be the one that... is on a collision course with Earth.
Right, and then they're going to have to destroy
it. As if it's not already hard enough to get work as a gay Japanese senior citizen actor. Now I'm also the guy that destroyed the entire planet. I'm never going to get a call back.
That would be bad news if your asteroid stamped out civilization forever.
Yeah, but, you know, if we do find that my asteroid is about to crash into our planet, you know, we could just go to the alien obelisk near Miramani's tribal village and use it to deflect the asteroid safely out of our path.
I have no idea what you're saying right now.
Or we could call Bruce Willis. But you know who is jealous of my asteroid?
Who?
William Shatner.
He's jealous that you got an asteroid named after you?
Yes. I hate that guy.
But he has won all the Emmys and is currently working on a smash hit show called Boston Legal. Why would he be jealous of you?
You know, he's such a pain in the ass.
Is that right?
They gave my name to an asteroid. They gave Bill's name to a hemorrhoid.
Oh, look at you.
Wow.
Can I get a rim shot?
Now, Lieutenant Sulu, speaking of William Shatner, of course, you guys will forever be linked because of your
Shatner,
3 years.
He had an asteroid. If he had an asteroid, it'd be orbiting Uranus looking for Klingon.
Okay.
I'll be here all week.
Because of your Star Trek TV series and then all the very popular movies, of course, they keep making the Star Trek movies, and you are not going to be in the new one directed by J.J. Abrams that comes out next year.
Yes, well, that's true. You know, the Federation contacted me about being in the film, but unfortunately, their offer didn't energize me. You know, in other words, they weren't willing to beam down enough dilithium crystals
to
engage my warp drive and fire my photon torpedoes.
I think we understand what you're saying.
In other words,
yeah, no, we know.
Those weasels at Paramount are cheap mother effers. I'm an admiral now.
You're an admiral.
Right, but you really just played one on the TV show. You're not in real life.
I don't understand. That's sort of Earth terminology.
Right, exactly. What about Heroes? You've had a very popular arc.
I'm very busy with Heroes. I don't have time for a Star Trek movie.
Okay. But are you still busy now that your character has been stabbed and thrown off the top of a building?
What happened to me?
You don't remember?
Don't you remember filming that scene where Ando runs out with...
My character dies? They didn't tell me that.
Well,
Damn it!
Didn't
this always happens. I was on that Enterprise show in the 60s. They canceled that.
Right.
Then I was on Little House on the Prairie as Nellie Olson's buff Shogun lover, but they cut me after one episode.
Shogun.
And then I landed at the Heroes gig. The money was good, and I got to use a sword again.
Right.
You remember I used the sword on orbit around PSI 2000 in the Naked Time?
No, but okay.
And now the irony is they're using that same sword to axe me from the show. I've had it. Sound red alert.
Oh. You don't have a real red alert.
I'm going to use the ship's tractor beam and direct my asteroid so it crashes into the NBC programming department.
That seems like maybe
weapons
that's...
Weapons control, stand by.
All right.
What is going
Christian
on here?
Christian Slater, lock phasers on these coordinates.
Christian Slater?
3000 West Alameda in Burbank, California, 91505.
You need a zip
second
code?
Floor, above the commissary. And while we're at it, we're going to take out those dicks down the street at Star. And that damn pumpkin patch Christmas tree lot.
All right, Lieutenant Sulu.
All right, I have to sign off now.
All right.
I need to keep this hailing frequency open. I'm expecting a call from my agent.
Good luck with that.
The producers of CSI are working on a spinoff for me.
Yeah? Oh, yeah?
CSI Rigel 12.
Don't know what that means.
Call me, babe. Sulu out.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What about the original in-your-face live Halloween experience? We're talking about Knott's Halloween Haunt. You'll win a pair of tickets to the 35th annual Haunt this Sunday, October the 14th. 1-800-520-1067. Call on any topic. Get on the air. We've got to start with Kenny. This is one of the most unbelievable calls we've ever had.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What it do?
What it do, nephew? Oh, just want to know if you guys heard the latest from Travis Pastrana, what he's been up to lately.
I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of jumping out of an airplane without a chute. That's not my idea of a good time.
With a chute isn't really that fun, I don't think.
With a parachute. Yeah. He jumped out of a plane without a parachute, right? And then two other guys jump out and race down and grab him.
Yeah, exactly. It's a new movie called Thrillbillies comes out, I believe, at the end of this month.
That seems like that's a bad idea on every level, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Apparently, he tried to do it here. No one would let him, so he had to go to, like, Costa Rica or someplace.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. That's pretty crazy.
Nutty, yeah.
Kenny, did you say that it was for a film that's coming out?
Yeah, it's called Thrillbillies. I'm not sure the exact release date, but I believe it's at the end of this month, and it's called Thrillbillies.
Yeah, it's the fifth in the Travis and Nitro series, Circus, or whatever it is he calls it. Travis.
Unbelievable.
Nitro Circus, I don't know.
We got to get that boy on to talk about that. That is, just when you think there's nothing more that can be done in that arena, these guys come up with something new. That's a great call. Kenny, hang on for your prize. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Jeremy calling from Buena Park, talking about probably the most looked at photo on the internet yesterday.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, have you guys seen Britney's new Bieber shot?
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
She seems...
I don't know why. I don't know why she keeps showing it. It looks so bad. It's like a bologna sandwich.
It looked like a star to me. That's all I could see.
No, that was the edited version. They put that on top of it on TMZ. But here's what's funny, and Alex and I, Super Horror, assistant producer Alex and I were talking about this yesterday. How does she not realize that her vajayjay is out there for everybody to see? I mean...
Oh, she does. She has to by now.
Does she just not care?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think... You don't think someone hasn't told her by now that we could all see her?
It looks like her vajayjay has a vajayjay of its own.
I wouldn't
wreck it with your Richard.
Very nice.
You know what's insane?
He's got a chunk of comedy he's worked out for this.
She's fighting for custody with her kids. I so, I mean, while that behavior may have been, I don't know, sort of acceptable before, it's insane now.
Well, she's not doing anything that normal people would do to get their kids back, though. That's the thing. She's crazy.
Imagine how excited we would have been to see her vagina 5 years ago. And now it's like, put it away.
Yeah. Don't need to see that. All right. Let's go to Jenner in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jenner. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey. I just wanted to say, give you guys props on that interview with Eva Mendez. Man, what a great girl. She got no ego, it sounds like. I think I got a shot with her. What do you think?
I think you do too, Jenner.
You know what I'm thinking?
Make the right moves.
Yeah, I've met Ralph before, and what, he's done a few crappy TV roles, and he thinks he's Marlon Brando. And this chick gets on the phone, and she's like, "Girl next door." She was awesome, man.
Yeah, I think go for it, Jenner. How could that go wrong?
I don't see how it could. I'm on the bus right now on the way to work, so
excellent.
If I ever see her in here, I just.
That's
right.
Right
over,
if she ever gets on your bus, she's all yours.
That'll turn her on, man. Guys who take the bus to work are very sexy.
Thank you, Jenner.
Thanks for the call. I will tell you, I have some sympathy for Jenner, and maybe we've all done this, but you see a chick on TV, and she's doing an interview, and she's so hot and so personal and so down-to-earth and so funny and so nice. You really do think, we would be great together. We would be a fantastic couple. And you let your mind wander to the point where you think you actually do have a chance with her.
Yeah.
Believe me, that happens to me a lot.
Yeah, sure. Happens to you all the time. Michelle in West Covina, good morning.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
Hey, Michelle.
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
I'm calling because I want to know why people put up Christmas stuff even before Halloween.
I don't know. It bugs me, too.
I went to the store the other day, and they had all kinds of Christmas stuff. I was like, dang, it's not even Halloween yet.
Yep. Well, now, you know why the stores do it, because they sell, you know, half of what they make every year sells between, you know, October, November, December. I understand why the stores do it. I don't necessarily understand the people who buy the stuff now and are into the spirit of stuff now and start putting decorations up now. Those are the people that are really rushing the season. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know. I was driving by a house the other day. They had all the Christmas lights up, and I was like, okay. Well, maybe they were the ones that don't take off the Christmas lights all year long, and they just turn them on early.
You just need to make a mental note of that address and go back tonight at midnight. Make things right. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, good. Thank you for calling.
And happy holidays to you.
Let's see. Let's go to Myra in Los Angeles. She has a complaint, apparently. Oops, sorry. Wrong line. That was me. Myra, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Do, baby boo?
Hi, Myra.
Hey, guys. I'm calling because a friend of mine and I were listening to your radio show online, mm-hmm. and we love it, and it gets us through the morning. And we noticed that it was 9:45, and you guys were signing off already, and we
right.
thought, what the hell? We got shortchanged for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the management of this radio station would like us off as soon as possible.
No, but
so they start saying, it's 9:30. You guys about finished? They're looking at their watches.
Time is ticking.
They really do tell us that by about 10 till we should be completely done. And so we try to make that. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Sorry.
Let's try to make it till 10.
All right.
Thank you very much, guys.
Sure.
Thank you for the constructive criticism. We appreciate it. I think yesterday Mike had a mani-pedi appointment, too. I think so. He was in a little bit of a rush to get us out the door.
Yesterday was coming out day, dude.
That's right.
Let's close with Joey in West Covina. He's on line 4. Now, this is fantastic.
Hi, Joey.
Good to talk to you. I've never heard of somebody being banned for life from Universal. What happened, dude?
Well, me and my buddy, we went to the Halloween Horror Nights.
Right.
And we were on the back lot. And they were talking about some super secret movie that they had back shooting in the blue screen area.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my buddy were just like, you know what? Let's go back there and go see what they're doing. And there's like these huge ruins back there and stuff, you know? And we're like, dude, this has to be Indiana Jones. So we're messing around back there. She, a security guard, starts chasing us, finally catches us, detains us in the security office. We were going to be arrested. But they ended up just telling us, hey, you know what? You guys can go. Just get out of here. But you guys can never come back. You're banned for life.
Nice. Nice.
Was it worth it?
Oh, definitely. it was so badass over there. I actually wanted to tell Ralph how cool the set was.
Yeah, Ralph's he's out today, but we'll pass it along.
All right, cool.
All right, thank you, Joel.
All right, guys.
Bye now.
Good times.
Good times.
All right, many, many guests to thank on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Sean Astin for joining us. His film is called The Final Season. And, of course, Meerkat Manor, he's the announcer for that, too. Fridays at 8:30 on the Animal Planet. Thanks to the Gridiron Goddess for joining us, too. Amy with her football picks at gridirongoddess.net. She's been 5-1 the last 2 weeks. And if you weren't able to be with us this morning, here's what she had. San Diego over Oakland, Giants over Atlanta, Philadelphia over the Jets, Cleveland over Miami, Seattle over the Saints, and her suicide pick, remarkably, is the Patriots over the Cowboys. How about that, by the way?
That's a pair of unbeaten teams. That's a tough call right there.
Yeah.
That's balls right there. I want to thank Sharon Osbourne for joining us and also Ozzy for sleeping in this morning. He's going to be in concert with Rob Zombie on Friday, November 30th at 8 o'clock. If you haven't heard about this show yet, tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 o'clock at all Ticketmaster outlets. That's a fantastic double bill for a show at Staples Center. And you can go to juliansauctions.com or call 310-816-1818 if you're interested in the auction that's coming up of tons of memorabilia and furnishings from all of the Osbourne houses at the Gibson Guitar Showroom also on November 30th. And thanks to our girlfriend Ava Mendez for joining us. The film is called We Own the Night, and that one opens up everywhere today.
All right. Congratulations, Crystal Darling from Walnut. If you missed that call earlier this morning, no one has ever been more excited about winning a grand prize. She won the Incubus trip to Guadalajara, Mexico, and the lithograph that's autographed.
She was speechless. That's what I would say.
That's true. She really literally had no words.
No.
which was
And by speechless, she means we got her answering machine.
That's correct, yes. But at least we called back three times. Monday morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dave Duchovny on the program talking about Californication, one of our favorite programs.
Absolutely.
Craig Ferguson of The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Tony Hawk, Michelle Ryan, the Bionic Woman.
Wow.
All that coming up on Monday morning. So have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you on Monday.
It over to me.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying
just
hi.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. Another
Matt Corbett coming up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock straight ahead, including Flyleaf. The new one is called All Around Me. Also Killers, Linkin Park, Social D, Muse, and Disconnected by Face to Face. Straight ahead on K-Rock.
Roll, 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 roll.
Drugs. You gotta have drugs.
This one seems to be about to end.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
I don't have another cent.
If you smoke marijuana, you will become an unmotivated, dysfunctional loser.
Just pass it around.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, that's our show. Hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoyed watching the most embarrassing moments of our lives broadcast across the country. I'm sure these mental scars will never heal.
Now get out.
Seriously, go away.
No, really.
Bye.
Bye.
See you.
Stop.
Cut.
Go.
Go outside.
Do something.
What's next?
Go do something.
Go to work.
Get a job.
Get a job.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
This is-